Residents are stocking up and removing limbs that could break under the weight of thick ice.
That's NBC's Kurt Gregory. President Obama is heading back to Washington. He'll begin working with the Senate to avoid the fiscal cliff. NBC's Danielle Lee reports they have just 5 days to work out a deal.
Without a deal, Bush-era tax cuts will expire January 1st, and deep spending cuts will set in. Congress set up the deadline, hoping it would force a compromise. So far, that's backfired.
Some economists believe going over the fiscal cliff could mean diving into a recession. Former President George H.W. Bush remains in intensive care. Doctors are cautiously optimistic about his recovery. This is NBC News Radio. About 200 Utah teachers are being trained in handling concealed weapons.
Gun rights advocates are offering the training. They say the classroom teachers could stop school shootings if they carried concealed firearms. It's an idea gaining traction in the aftermath of the Connecticut school shooting. A similar program is launching in Ohio. Tom Graham, NBC News Radio.
The U.S. Supreme Court declined to put a temporary hold on a controversial provision in the new health care law requiring employers to provide health insurance coverage for contraceptives. Two businesses challenging the act contended that the law violates their religious freedom. The Consumer Reports annual list of best and worst new car values puts the Toyota Prius on top. It dethroned the Honda Fit, which has had the title for the last 4 years. Chicago will soon have the nation's most expensive downtown parking meters. On New Year's Day, meters in the city's downtown loop area will begin charging $6.50 an hour. I'm Mara Esquivel-Campo, NBC News Radio.
Imagine your favorite cigarette. Now, imagine it without the smoke and cigarette smell. Like the introducing the Enjoy King, the first electronic cigarette with the look, feel, and flavor of the real thing. Finally, smokers have a real alternative. New Enjoy King. Cigarettes you've met your match. Available at participating 7-Eleven and Sheets stores. Not for sale to minors. Contains nicotine, which is addictive. Find out more at enjoy.com.
Dear Honda, thanks for getting Dad a deal on a new Accord during Happy Honda Days. You saved me from being completely humiliated when he drives the carpool. Rearview camera means no adult language when backing out of Katie's driveway. And Pandora compatibility means no more CDs with Cheetar. Now I might survive middle school without too many emotional scars. Sincerely, Sean.
More happiness and standard features with every Honda during the Happy Honda Day sales event. Get a deal on the all-new Accord with Pandora compatibility and rearview camera. Standard. See your Honda dealer today.
Pandora Internet Radio compatible with select smartphones. Wireless carriers rates apply.
If you did any holiday shopping online, you were probably most satisfied with the experience on Amazon.com. For the eighth straight year, Amazon takes the top spot in the 4C survey. Amazon landed an 88 out of 100 points. Land's End came in second with an 85. Anything above 80 is considered strong. Now, the biggest drop was suffered by JCPenney, which fell 5 points, more than any other website, down to a score of 78. There are signs working conditions are improving in Chinese factories. After a lot of bad press, especially about electronics maker Foxconn, the New York Times says Foxconn, China's largest private employer, has pledged to sharply curtail workers' hours and significantly increase wages. Analysts say if the reforms are successful there, they could spread throughout the electronics industry in China. Even safety reforms are taking hold. Ahead of reports on first-time jobless claims, new home sales, and consumer sentiment, S&P futures are higher, but only by a fraction. NASDAQ futures gaining 3. I'm Steve Potusk at MarketWatch.com.
Email marketing works great for small business, and Constant Contact email marketing works best of all. How do we know? Because we have something the other guys don't have. Proof. According to an independent study, small businesses that use Constant Contact get 36% more of their emails opened and 60% more responses. The result? A whopping 29% more revenue. Put Constant Contact email marketing to work for your small business. Go to ConstantContact.com to sign up for a free trial today.
Shaquille O'Neal for Icy Hot.
If you've got pain, you need the patch.
The Icy Hot Patch. Powerful, targeted, fast-acting pain relief that stays put without the mess. Icy to dull the pain, hot to relax it away. In a variety of sizes, from back, shoulders, knees, even arthritis. So you're covered whenever and wherever you hurt. Stop pain right at the source with Icy Hot Patches.
Pain's no match for the Icy Hot Patch.
For temporary topical pain relief, use only as directed.
Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. We get a lot of tweets from folks that sound just like this. Jay, I bought my home in 2007. Since then, it's gone down in value. Now I owe more on my mortgage than my home is worth. Can I refinance? The answer may very well be yes. Recently, the government announced changes that may allow folks to refinance even if their home has lost value. For example, if you owe $300,000 on your mortgage, but your home's only worth $150,000, Quicken Loans may still be able to help you. Or if your current mortgage rate is higher than 3.99%, you've got to give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. So if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, or if you owe more than your home is worth, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Calls for cost information. Equal housing lender license.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
It's really an honor and a thrill to present my next guest. He is just part of that good guy team at the Bernstein Law Firm. But if you really stopped and explored everything that the Bernstein family does for our community outside of the great work they do in the courtroom, we wouldn't have enough time in an entire week to talk about all of the good work they've done. Oh, a little over a year and a half ago, I ran into Mark Bernstein and the UFCW offices, as that's when he was considering his current run as a candidate for the University of Michigan Board of Regents. I'm happy to tell you that a lot of people have taken him seriously, and he's getting some very serious attention and endorsements from some important places. But ultimately, it's about the ideas that Mark Bernstein brings to the table that will matter most, not just to those at the University of Michigan, but for college-eligible people everywhere, or the parents thereof. Count me in. And it is with pride and pleasure that I welcome Mark Bernstein to the program this morning. Mark, I hope you're well.
Hey, Tony, thank you. I really appreciate you having me on the show. We got about 2 weeks left. 2 weeks left in this. And then the hard work starts.
Yeah,
college affordable for Michigan families.
Absolutely. We're going to get into all that. I do want to, though, ask you before we get started. We talked to your brother Richard a couple weeks back, and I'm just wondering how he's healing and how he's doing.
Thanks for asking. You know, I feel like I'm talking about my brother more than myself out on the campaign trail. There's so many people out in the Democratic and progressive communities that care so much about him. And as many of the folks listening know, he was in a pretty serious accident in New York. He was hit by a bicyclist while he was walking in Central Park. I'm really, really grateful to say that he's out of the hospital finally. He got out a few days ago. He was in for 10 weeks in New York, and he's now rehabbing, and he's going to have a full recovery. He's up, he's walking without any assistance, he's swimming, and he's going to be fine. He's, leave it to my brother to set a goal of running the New York Marathon a year from now, roughly, as part of his rehabilitation. So, and I wouldn't bet against him.
Listen, if he had to drag himself on with two hands, he'd do it. I mean, come on, let's just be honest about it, Mark. He'd do whatever it took to do that. So I appreciate
it.
He's an amazing guy. I love him dearly. Anyway, college affordability, of all the things you could run on, that might be one that would say, Mark, I'm scratching my head. Why would you talk about affordability when all we keep on hearing is that college is no longer affordable?
Well, because we have to make it affordable. And it's the number one issue on people's minds, and it should be the number one issue on folks' minds when it comes to higher education in Michigan. Listen to this fact. If college tuition continues to increase at the University of Michigan, and U of M is not alone, it's emblematic of all of our public universities in Michigan and across the country for that matter, but if higher education costs continue to skyrocket at the same rate that they have increased at the University of Michigan over the last 10 years, it will cost a child born today in Michigan, when she or he goes to the University of Michigan in about 18 years, it will cost that family over $300,000 to go for 4 years at the University of Michigan. That is unsustainable, and it's completely unacceptable. And so affordability is, and nothing, I think, crystallizes the issue here, the crisis that we face, more than that fact. The amount of debt that's outstanding, the skyrocketing tuition, is pushing college out of reach for working families in our state. And we need people on the Board of Regents at the University of Michigan. The Board of Regents sets tuition. It makes it helps define the vision of the University of Michigan, who are going to fight and win for working families. And that's why I'm running for the University of Michigan Board of Regents.
You know, this is something that you have seriously thought about doing for a long time. Now, you know, you can, I'm sure you've, you know, really kind of weighed, you know, where you wanted to put some political muscle. You've supported many, many candidates over the years to be one yourself. And I'll remind people, you're a statewide candidate. This isn't just a, hey, I'm running in Ann Arbor thing. You're running statewide. That's a daunting task. Why did you decide to take this path?
Because I think that, you know, higher education is one of the most important parts of our economic recovery in Michigan. And also, I happen to love the University of Michigan. I love higher education. It's an incredibly complex institution. The success of all of our public universities, I think, is integral to the success of our state, to the economic development of our state, to the health of our state, to the quality of life of our state. I have 3 degrees from the University of Michigan. You know, I'm a proud, you know, I know gratitude is a word that you're thinking about a lot about today. But I'm a proud and very, very grateful product of Michigan's extraordinary public education system and the extraordinary public educators from kindergarten all the way to earning 3 degrees from the University of Michigan, a law degree, an MBA, and an undergraduate degree. And it's this path through extraordinary public education that is under assault right now from our legislature, from our Republican-controlled legislature that hopefully we can change in 2 weeks, from our Republican governor who's making the wrong choices about priorities. You know, we have a choice in this state about giving away tax breaks or giving away diplomas. And, you know, I think that the future depends on diplomas in this state. And so I don't think there's a better place for me, given my interests, my skill set, than to be on the University of Michigan Board of Regents, representing working families and the people of this state.
My guest again is Mark Bernstein. He's running for U of M Board of Regents. We'll get the website address out in just a second. But, Mark, let's talk about the bus tour, because I know that you're sitting down and having serious contemplation with a lot of very concerned parents and students. And I know you, I know the family, I know that you're very connected. You're a great listener by, you know, I guess that's a little bit of a professional hazard, but you've got to be a great listener to do what you have been so able to successfully do for all these years. And I would think it's got to be difficult to sit and hear a lot of these stories about people that have had to walk away from opportunity because they just couldn't write the check.
Oh, my gosh. You know, we have been about 5 or 6 or 7 months ago, we bought an old school bus. And it has about 200,000 miles on it. And we've been driving this bus around Michigan on what we call the Make College Affordable Tour. And we've been to every corner of the state, including the Upper Peninsula, to talk about how to make college affordable, how to make it accessible for working families, which is a slightly different topic than affordability, but it's related, how to solve this crushing student debt burden that families are suffocating under right now. And so during this process, we have been listening to students and families across Michigan talk about the impact that skyrocketing tuition has had on their life. You know, I've met families who and students who are holding down not one, not two, but 3 jobs. Met a woman who's sleeping in her car in one of the commuter lots at the University of Michigan because she can't afford lodging. There's a whole tent city at Grand Valley State in the forest near the campus where students are living because they can't afford to live in the dorms. Immense, profound sacrifices are being made by students across this state just to keep up with tuition. And once they get out of school, it's the debt that's killing them. You know, in many respects, my campaign started, you know, almost 80 years ago when my grandfather, Harold Nelson, had to drop out of the University of Michigan when his family fell on hard times because and he couldn't finish his degree. And I kind of grew up knowing, and he loved the University of Michigan even though he never graduated from it. And in some respects, this is a little bit of unfinished business. Running in his memory. but on behalf of students and families who are struggling vitally right now, just like he did.
Well, you know, there's no question. Well, first of all, let me make sure I get the website address out. Okay, it's mgobernstein.com. I know Joe's already got it up on the Facebook page, but it's M, the letter
yeah,
M, GOBERNSTEIN.com, mgobernstein.com. There's a lot of great stuff there. You know, you and I both know that endorsements don't vote and they don't necessarily win you elections. But what I have found interesting about the endorsements that you're getting, they're not just saying, okay, he's the right guy for this job. They're actually talking about your platform. That's so odd, Mark, when it comes to a college board or regent position. They normally don't get into that kind of detail. Have you been surprised that the media has been so keen on what you're saying?
You know, I wanted to run a campaign based on ideas. I also wanted to run a campaign that had a little bit of pet fun. That's what the bus is about. It captures people's attention, and we've been really successful at that. But you also have to, once you get people's attention, you have to tell them something that means something. And so that's why ideas have been the centerpiece of this campaign. And I think the media has been, and the public generally, have been surprised that a candidate for this position is coming out with detailed ideas about how to make college more affordable. I've got 10 what I call ideas to explore that are detailed plans on the website. I can go through some of them, or you can.
You know what? Why don't we do that? Mark, let's do that, but I need to take a quick break. So if you can stay with us, can you stay with us? I guess you can. All right. He's going to stay with us. We'll come back and talk about some of these because I think it's important we have this discussion. mgobernstein.com. If you have a question or comment, feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Uncommon, really. The endorsements have been uncommonly flattering, but it's because of the right reasons that Mark's actually talking proactively about a way, not that just we need to do it. Do you understand the difference, folks? Not that's just we need to do it, but how to do it. That's kind of rare. Actually, it's very rare. A quick break here. We'll be back with Mark Bernstein. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Joe DeSano from Main Street Strategies, and I want to wish Tony Truppiano and each and every one of his audience a happy and restful holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Mommy, sing me to sleep.
Sure, sweetie. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. You're a ball of gas that's very far. 32 light years in the sky. 10 parsecs, which is really high. Helium, carbon, and
hydrogen
fuse to make our starry friend. When it enters supernova stage, it explodes with bursts of rays. And if the star's mass is big and bold, it will become a big black hole. And if the star's mass is big and bold, it will become a big black hole.
Thanks, Mom.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, so it's up to parents to help create a brighter future for them. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
The odds of this Alaskan-born pitcher being selected to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game 6 times? 1 in 48 million. The odds of this fast-balling philanthropist winning the World Series 3 times? 1 in 3 million. The odds of this man having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. Hi, I'm Kurt Schilling. Learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mark Bernstein, my guest, he is running for University of Michigan Board of Regents. If you've not been to his website, you need to do that. It is absolutely full of great ideas, great commentary. His list of supporters is beyond impressive. Again, that website address is mgobernstein.com. That's the letter M, G-O-B-E-R-N-S-T-E-I-N.com. Mark, you said that there's a 10-point plank. I would love to get into some of this because, again, I said right before the break, what makes you unique is you're not just saying what, sure, I want to make college affordable. Who wouldn't be for that? But you don't leave it there. You actually have a plan to do it.
Right, you know, I've got billboards up and I'm running around telling everybody that we ought to make college affordable. People deserve an idea about how I'm going to do it, or at least my ideas about it. So let me tell you about two ideas, and then we can go into more if you want. But the first idea is something I call a college access bond. That is essentially the following. You know, this tackles the debt issue. You know, the average student at the University of Michigan graduates with just under $28,000 of debt. That's an in-state undergraduate student. And that's about the same as most other public universities in Michigan, maybe a little bit more. But U of M has a AAA credit rating, which is unique among public universities. There's only three public universities in America with a AAA credit rating, and that's University of Michigan, University of Texas, and University of Virginia. And what that allows the University of Michigan to do is borrow money very, very cheaply. The cost of interest for the University of Michigan debt service is 2.3% on the interest when University of Michigan borrows. So my idea is very simply that the University of Michigan should pass along that low interest rate to its students. And if you compare let's just use a 3% interest rate, just for a hypothetical, compare that to the cheapest available federal money, which is 3.4% in the form of a Stafford loan. Those are the loans, if you recall, a few months ago, Republicans wanted to double that rate to 6.8%, but because of folks like Gary Peters and Democrats across the country, we stopped that. But that's the cheapest amount of money, 3.4%. The average student at the University of Michigan is paying 8, 9, 10% on their student loans. So if you take the average amount of student loan value and that low interest rate, the average student would save about $5,000. that's a very tangible, specific way that we can make college more affordable for families. The other benefit of that approach is that the university can be far more progressive and liberal and flexible in who's eligible for that financial aid. Right now, it's working families that are really getting squeezed. If you are in a low-income situation, there's actually a relatively significant amount of financial aid that's available to students and their families. There's Pell Grants and there's other forms of support. But when you're making, you've got a public school teacher and an auto worker together, they may not even be eligible for any financial aid. And so this would allow the university to have more flexibility with it. It also, very importantly, is sovereign to the University of Michigan. A lot of people everybody who runs for regent or for any of the ed boards says, we need to make college more affordable, and the way we're going to do that is we're going to get more money from the state. Well, it would be great if we got more money from the state, and the university should get more money from the state, but we can't plan on getting more money from the state. So any solution that's credible and thoughtful has to be sovereign, unique to the university itself. It can't rely on other people, can't rely on Governor Schneider, can't rely on a Republican legislature to give the university more money to invest more in public universities. So that's one idea. The other idea is actually very simple, and that's basically what I call variable credit pricing. And what that is lower tuition when you take classes during off-peak hours, when you take a night class, when you take a weekend class, when you take classes during the spring and the summer. By doing that, you're able to utilize facilities more, increase faculty utilization rates, generate revenue, and make college more affordable for working students who are holding down a job or two jobs or taking care of a parent or taking care of kids. Those are two very, very specific ways that we can make college more affordable. There's a lot of other ideas. They're all on the website at mgobernstein.com. You all can also check out the Facebook page, which is the same thing, mgobernstein. We've got almost 9,000. We may have gone past 9,000 likes on our Facebook page because people are just responding to someone running for this position who cares about these issues and has some ideas about how to deal with affordability and accessibility while making sure that we don't diminish the quality of the product either.
Those
are two ideas.
It's something that has always occurred to me, we only hear about these candidates, these region or board candidates during election seasons. Do you think that regions should be more accessible, should be more public, should promote what it is they're doing in a greater way?
Absolutely. I have promised myself and everyone who is supporting me that I'm going to be the most open and accessible, transparent, available, reachable regent that has ever served. And, starting with this campaign, not only in the digital space on Facebook and on Twitter, and anyone who sends me a message, I respond, try to respond immediately. But I've also had office hours. I've been setting up shop at locations around campus, and I'm planning to do it beyond campus, set up shop and all across Michigan, where I just put it out on my Facebook page. I publicize it, and I've done it several times. And I just sit and listen to people. If congressmen can do it, and other electeds can do it, why shouldn't regents do it? And I've been doing that, and it has been invaluable. The first one I went, I sat down at Brugger's in Ann Arbor, and nobody showed up. But the second one, we had a line. And I learned a lot of, students came, faculty came, staff came. And it's my goal to be available and open to the folks who hopefully are going to put me in that job.
No, I think that's critical, Mark. I've got three in college. It's tough. By the way, I was up at my youngest son goes to Michigan State. Although he did tell us yesterday he wants to transfer to Michigan, saw your billboards heading up there. And you did right next to the university actually. As we were talking to him yesterday, I can't begin to tell you how proud I am of his maturity and how he understands the economic necessity of what we have to do right now. Because we talked to him about student loans, and I just can't write a check every time he needs something. And I hate that it has to be that way. It's just my reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, college remains a very good investment. But it's also, there's two views here. You talk a lot on your show, Tony, about kind of two ways of seeing the world, And I believe there's a lot of people who say, you know what, college, they still believe that college is a luxury. No. It's a product. And that, you know, that, you know, University of Michigan gets 40,000 applications, 42,000 applications for, you know, 6,000 spots. So what's the problem with the price? You know, it's a supply and demand type of equation. Democrats believe, I believe, that the higher education is an economic imperative. It's essential. It's not a luxury.
No,
and for that reason, the public and government has an important role, an essential role in making sure that it's available, affordable, and accessible.
And we're going to have
every person who goes.
And we're going to have to leave it there. We're just how time that went by really fast. Mark, best of luck to you. Let's see if we can connect once more before Election Day. Thank you for working as hard as you are. I appreciate your time this morning.
Tony, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. Mark Bernstein, once again, mgobernstein.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Harvey Santana, state representative. I want to wish you and your families a happy holiday season. I want to let you know how much I love you, care for you, and how hard we're working for you in Lansing to get our government back to work.
On 1310 WDTW.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Last year, one in five children was sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
The following letter was written by Petty Officer Eric C., U.S. Navy Reserve.
Thank you for all your support. As we endure some of the toughest times in our lives, it's comforting to know that you are here, alongside us in spirit. It gives me a sense of pride that can't be explained, only felt. And I would have never felt it had it not been for all of you.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. To show your support, visit americasupportyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week. A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us.
Like us.
Love us.
At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
With you, six. For those of you that don't live in Wayne County, this conversation is important because it may be coming to a community college near you. Let me turn my attention now to my next guest. Joining us is Dr. George Swan, the Vice Chancellor for Wayne County Community College District. And I want to thank you, Dr. Swan, for joining us on First Shift this morning.
Well, thank you very much, Tony. It's a pleasure to be with you and your listeners.
Well, I appreciate that. Now, you obviously heard my introduction. Am I pretty much on track there?
You are on target. Community colleges in Michigan and actually throughout the country are dependent upon local property tax assessments for funding. There's a three-legged approach, an approach to funding for community colleges. One is state appropriation, the other is student tuition, and the third is local property tax assessments. And they're supposed to be equal amounts. However, we know that state appropriations have not increased over the last 5 to 6 years. We can't increase student tuition. You're right on target because if we do so, it makes education less affordable to those who need it the most at this time. And so we really are dependent upon our citizens, our constituents, to say, if we have the ability to touch the lives of people, believe in us and help us to make sure we have the resources and the capacity to be able to help educate and train individuals. And we're very proud of the fact that over 72,000 persons each year are coming through our doors, through our five campuses in the University Center. And that's phenomenal, given this day. But it's also very apparent, given the challenges we have with technology and global competition and just the ability for people to find a different pathway in their lives, that they need to have access to education and training.
Well, you know, certainly you provide a great deal of opportunity, and as I said, we see admission and the search for the Wayne County Community College District rapidly expanding, which is very good, but that also presents some challenges. So at some point a decision was made to go to the voters in Wayne County. I happen to be a resident of Wayne County. I will be voting for the millage. I understand its importance, but at some point a decision was made to go to the voters and ask for an additional $1 million. Why is that important, Dr. Swan?
It's important because over the last 2 years, knowing that 60% of our operating support comes from voters, comes from the local property tax assessments, when you think about foreclosures, reduced property values, for the largest urban community college in the state of Michigan, serving more students than any other institution, we have lost $30 million. Of our operational support. Now, what we have not done, you have not heard about massive layoffs, you have not heard about any challenges in terms of cutting programs. In fact, what you have learned, or heard hopefully, is that we're one of the few public institutions where Fitch Bond Rating Service upgraded our bond rating because of the efficiencies that we have attained, because of the transparency we have in our operational support, and because of the fact that we're making good use of taxpayer dollars. But the problem is, once you no longer have that amount available, it does pressure the institution to see how can we cut further, how can we attain greater efficiencies, and it got to the point where we had to really appreciate the fact that if we don't have additional revenue, we're not going to be able to sustain the kind of operations we have had for the last few years.
Well, certainly we're gonna talk a little bit about where that money will go, but I do want to, and while during my research for this segment, I do want to share that although your funding has been cut dramatically, you said $30 million, you've expanded programmings and, in fact, have expanded your student population quite dramatically. Some would say further stressing the faculty, but I don't read or see anything where your faculty are necessarily feeling picked on or stressed. In fact, I'm thinking they're enjoying the challenge. Again, as you've expanded programs for students, as you've put into place academia that matters, that takes people to the next level in whatever career choice they are on, you've seemed to have found a balance. Although I understand that the financial strain of this has to weigh heavy on the minds of everybody, including your faculty.
Well, what we have done, we've grown to offer over 110 degree and certificate programs. And keep in mind that we're a multi-campus system. So we have five campuses across the 32 cities and townships that we serve, along with the University Center. And what we've done is to try to get greater efficiencies. So where we may have had duplicate programs at multiple campuses, we no longer do that. We try to take the best facilities and offer the best services and programs for a particular subject. I'll give you an example, nursing and allied health. We used to have nursing programs at three campuses. We really are concentrating to have an excellent program at our Northwest campus, the Health Science Center. We're looking at how do we work our system in such a way that we provide access, certainly, but also we provide the greatest level of quality and integrity for programs. Now, it does stress the system, because that means that given our transportation issues and Michigan, especially southeastern Michigan, that we have to really think strategically where those programs go and how people can get to where those classes are being offered. But we've also expanded online learning, which then provides an opportunity for individuals to take advantage of learning anytime, any place. But you're right on target. We have worked diligently to make certain that those who are in our classrooms have our support. That means that we have streamlined our administration. It means that we have looked at ways to use technology more creatively. But you get to a point where you understand, given projections, as we continue to grow to meet the needs of people in the county, we know that we are going to be stressed and that we have to take the measures necessary to assure that if we're adding value, our students are adding value to local economy. And most community college students don't travel outside of the area of the region once they graduate. They're coming out with technical skills. They're coming out to be able to fill the talent demand that employers are asking our people to have to really make certain that we build a vibrant economy in southeast Michigan.
Well, let me remind everybody, my guest is Dr. George Swan. He's the Vice Chancellor for External Affairs at Wayne County Community College District. They are in search of a $1 million increase to help fund needed and necessary programs to keep them vibrant. And, you know, it seems, Dr. Swan, before we get on to some of the other topics, one of the things that you do exceptionally well is respond to the business community. I know that you partner with a great many businesses and organizations in not only in Wayne County but throughout the region, making sure that you are offering programs and degrees that do train people. We know that there are jobs out there that people just are not qualified for at this point. That did accelerate what you needed to offer, and you've responded to that. But you also have to be able to fund that, and you can't go again to the student body and ask for more money. You know, one of the things that I will have to say, and anybody that disagrees with this is just not paying attention. To this day, the best value in education is a community college education.
I would agree with you, not just because I've been working in community colleges for the last 25 years. I've worked in universities and other private institutions for over 32 years. And what we find is we have the flexibility and we have the capacity to be able to respond quickly. And that's something that's very important to our private sector partners. Given Right Skills Now, for example, in advanced manufacturing, is a program that was offered to us in March. And the question was, can we do a fast-track program that would train individuals to get four certificate levels of the national certification through NIMS, National Institute for Networking Skills, and be able to have portable competencies?
Dr. Swan, I'm going to have to interrupt you. We've got to get to the break. Can we finish this on the other side?
All right, yes.
Very good. Dr. George Swan, my guest. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299. I want to wish everybody on First Shift Radio a joyous and happy holiday and a happy new year. Look forward to 2013.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you're the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
I started using drugs when I was 13 years old. I started with pot, like most people probably do, alcohol, cigarettes, and eventually moved up to methamphetamine and went on to cocaine and eventually ended up on heroin.
I did not have a life. I mean, I owned a multi-million dollar advertising firm and I couldn't function.
My husband packed the children and left. I had no idea where they were. But none of that mattered. All that mattered was smoking crack.
My parents, brother, and sisters are just baffled. You know, how can somebody that supposedly has so much be so miserable and keep throwing his life away?
And I remember my mother saying to me one day, "You're going to die if you don't get help." I wanted to have my life back and my family back. And that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
Seducing teen girls online is easy. A lot of them feel so lonely and misunderstood. I don't even need to lie about my age. They're just glad they're talking to someone.
Someone older I can trust. They're more mature than the guys at my school and understand me better than other
teen girls are very trusting. You just have to tell them they're beautiful and special, and you can wear down whatever suspicions they have.
Have an understanding of real love. It's not all about looks. They know that doesn't matter when you're totally in love.
Love is the final piece of the puzzle. They believe anything I tell them because
I don't see why you shouldn't meet someone you totally trust. I mean, if someone really cares about you, there's no danger in
meeting them. No matter how long it takes, is always the goal. Once I get them to meet me, well, that's when things get really interesting.
Online predators know what they're doing. Do you?
1 in 5 kids online is sexually solicited. Don't believe the type. Visit cybertipline.com to learn more. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I am Tony Trupiano. He is Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299.
And it just goes to show that boots on the ground and people at the voting polls, no matter if you make them stay 8-9 hours, this is America, and they tried voter suppression to keep people in line for 8-9 hours, elderly people. And you know what? They stood in line.
That's right.
They said, "You're not going to steal this election from me." They tried to do everything in their power. Big money tried to do everything in their power. You can bet them 1% or sat home and got the absentee ballot and voted. They never waited no line. Them guys wouldn't stand in line for a cup of coffee.
On 1310, WDPW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's come over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Dr. George Swan, Vice Chancellor for External Affairs from Wayne County Community College District, is my guest. We are appealing to your sense of fairness and asking you to approve a $1 million increase for WCCCD. When you go to the polls, it will be on the nonpartisan part of your ballot. I warn you, in Wayne County, and I'm one of you, we've got two pages of ballots, so take your time. Don't forget to make notes ahead of time and bring them with you. Dr. Swan, thank you for waiting with us through the break. You were in the middle of a story when I had to rudely interrupt you, but the commercials wait for no one, Dr. Swan.
I understand. You got to be able to pay the cost. To have a good message out there and tell people what's going on. And that's really what we're trying to do as well as we visit with you and with others to talk about the fact that when we're speaking of economic development in the private sector, there are jobs out there for those in advanced manufacturing. There are jobs out in IT that are begging. The city of Detroit and Southeast Michigan projects about 6,000 openings in terms of IT. In terms of advanced manufacturing, there are 3,000 jobs around the state right now, but more that will be in the Southeast region in advanced manufacturing. Same thing in healthcare and the like. And so we responded, working with an international partner that was connected with us through the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, Emphasis of India, as well as Detroit Economic Growth Corporation, and looking at Detroit Employment Solutions Corporation, to launch a boot camp for IT software engineers. And that boot camp operated during this past summer, but also in conjunction with CompuWare and Quicken and Galaxy Solutions, just a host of the IT and the D companies, to say, what do we need to develop talent right here in Southeast Michigan, in Wayne County? Let us know. We will do it. We will deliver. And the same thing about advanced manufacturing. Right Skills Now is a program that was launched initially in Minnesota. We were the first institution in Michigan to launch this program that trains persons to become competent in four national certifications that allows them to go into an employer partner and to enter into fields that in many cases they may not have been able to enter before without having this kind of training. And so we're proud of the fact that we're able to respond very quickly. We are able to do what's necessary, understanding that we are the bridge. We really are a bridge between those who need the kind of assistance and those who need talent. And to be able to provide that kind of preparation that moves them quickly to the point where they get employed.
Well, you know, Dr. Swan, as I'm thinking about my own college education, certainly those of my children, some of them, in fact, two of the three have enjoyed great success at community college. It would seem to me that now more than ever, when we are so challenged by a fast-growing technology, we're challenged by an economy that is still quite uncertain, that we have to look at the other side of this coin. And I've got to ask this question. What happens if this millage doesn't pass? What does that do to Wayne County Community College District?
Well, we don't like to think that we're not going to be successful, and very confident we'll be successful. It means that we really have to take a serious look at whether or not we can sustain a system with five campuses. It does mean that we'll have to take a very, very close look at what programs we're able to support, because we're not going to be able to sustain what we do, given the fact we've looked at all the efficiencies and the like beyond a period of time. And so we don't really want to examine that. It's something that I had experienced at college in 1991-92. We had to, in fact, at that time, close the campus and look at 22 programs that we put on a hiatus. But that was 20 years ago. And since then, we've grown dramatically. But your point is a very serious one, and that is if we're going to be fiscally responsible to our constituents, and we're going to ensure that our stakeholders have the opportunities to take advantage of those programs that may have the greatest impact in their lives. The selection may be limited, as well as the places that we offer those programs at.
Well, listen, we've talked about a lot of things. I think you've made a compelling case for the importance of Wayne County Community College District. And we've got a few minutes left. Let me just let you talk directly to my audience now. Let's pretend for a moment, Dr. Swan, they're sitting in an auditorium in front of you. Make the case for them why this millage is critical, why they need to understand that, you know, and we're not talking about a ton of money out of their pocket on an annual basis. Let me make that clear as well. But make your case to this audience, especially those living in Wayne County, why this is so critical.
For the cost of about $52 a year, which is about a dollar a week, you have the opportunity to support one of the most transformative institutions that has become a model institution for colleges across the nation. And that's because we have made every effort to not only be responsible to our students, but also to our taxpayers, to our constituents. So we were the first institution to have a transparency initiative on our website. You can see every single dime that we spend. You can see every single project we're engaged in. You can even find out the attendance of our employees off of the web. But even more importantly is that we have taken care to talk to our community, to understand the kinds of training options that we need to have, the educational experiences that need to be there. We put in some excellent facilities. Our Michigan Institute for Public Safety Education is known not just around the region, but we've had people as far as from Chengdu, China, come to be trained at that facility. Therefore, homeland security, fire preparedness, just a host of activities that respond to safety issues, but not just safety. As we look around the district of 110 programs, energy efficiency, geothermal technology, looking at health care, we are reaching out and providing the experiences necessary to ensure that not only people have the skills, but that communities can flourish and thrive, because we know if individuals are able to be successful in pursuing their aspirations, they're going to support their families and their communities. They're going to help build up institutions. They're going to reinvest into where they happen to be. They're going to be looking at supporting schools and helping their children and their siblings move forward progressively. And if we don't have an institution like Wayne County Community College District, we would have to create one, because there is no other institution that has the type of mission, that has the open door aspects to say, if you have the desire to become educated, to enhance your skills, this is the moment, this is the institution that will support you. We have the largest dual enrollment program. As you talked about the K-14 experience, we're working now with over 4,000 students, 25 different schools across Wayne County, to ensure that those students who have the capacity and have the ability to take post-secondary courses can do so. So then they have saved money and being able to get both. In some cases, we've had three schools where students have gotten both a high school diploma and an associate's degree. They saved on the first 2 years of college and transferred. But that's not just for those students. There's students across the county who are having the same kind of experiences to be able to step up.
Well, Dr. Swan, unfortunately, we're just out of time for today, but I want to make sure everybody understands that on that nonpartisan part of their ticket, vote yes on the millage increase. Thank you for your... All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. All right, Dr. George Swan, we need to take a break here.
Hi, this is Jocelyn Benson, and I'm wishing all of Tony's listeners a happy holidays.
On 1310 WDTW. Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
You would come home after a hard day and just start in on me, you know, like, hey, how's your day? How was school? What you got going on? I mean, it gave me the chills.
My father would drive me all the way to the mall. He wouldn't stop until we were right in front of my friends. And oh my God, when...
I wanted to go to Europe, and he seriously made me get a job to pay for it. and that one time.
He insisted on taking us to the movies, even though he knew Stephen totally worked there and I was totally in love with him. And
the time I got this wicked, cool scorpion tattoo on my shoulder, not even the whole arm, just the shoulder, and he grounded me for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And oh yeah.
When I wanted to major in ceramics, because I'm like way good at it, my dad told me I'd have to pay my own tuition. Like, duh. How am I supposed to earn that kind of dough making pottery?
Embarrass them, horrify them, freak them out. Don't worry, they'll appreciate it. Eventually. A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council. Have you been a dad today? For more information, visit fatherhood.org.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Listen on iHeartRadio. NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Bart Necker. The lines of communication remain open. That's what congressional sources are saying as the president and lawmakers return to Washington to face the across-the-board tax increase and budget cuts set to go into effect January 1st. Here is NBC's Daniel Lee.
It's another day and another standoff. This time, House Speaker John Boehner hinting he may not even bring the House back to town until the Senate comes up with a passable plan.
Former President George H.W. Bush is in guarded condition in an intensive care unit at a Houston hospital as he fights a fever that's getting worse. Ford is going to invest more than $750 million and create more than 2,000 jobs in the automaker's home state of Michigan. Chicago could present parkers with a little sticker shock on Monday. Meters in the downtown loop will begin charging $6.50 an hour, up from $5.75. The nation's most expensive downtown parking meters will be in Chicago. This is NBC News Radio. A severe winter storm system is taking aim at northern New England. The National Weather Service forecasts that storm will dump a foot to a foot and a half of snow in the region. There are hundreds of flights canceled this morning. NBC meteorologist Dylan Dreyer is tracking the nasty weather.
We are still looking at that heavy snow now pushing across northern New England, upstate New York, northern Vermont, and then eventually moving into the Maine area as well. From Boston back into Hartford, right down into New York City, it's all rain at this point.
The annual hiring forecast by the internet job site CareerBuilder.com indicates 26% of hiring managers expect to add full-time permanent employees in 2013. The Christmas Day openings of Les Mis and Django Unchained were just what the movie industry wanted. Les Mis sold just over $18 million worth of tickets. Django enjoyed a $15 million opening. I'm Bart Necker, NBC News Radio.
Imagine your favorite cigarette. Now, imagine it without the smoke and cigarette smell. Introducing the Enjoy King, the first electronic cigarette with the look, feel, and flavor of the real thing. Finally, smokers have a real alternative. New Enjoy King. Cigarettes, you've met your match. Available at participating 7-Eleven and Get-Go stores. Not for sale to minors. Contains nicotine, which is addictive. Find out more at Enjoy.com.
A Weather Channel Wednesday night event. Where there is open water, there is danger.
Lifeguard dispatch, I'm on scene.
Two teams, two coasts, one mission. Save your life. From the rocky shores of Southern California.
He is unconscious, but she is breathing.
To the beaches of South Florida.
Drug runners, shipwrecks, we see it all here.
They risk it all for the rescue.
Prayer for the worst, hope for the best.
A Wednesday night original series event. Lifeguard Southern California at 8 Eastern. Coast Guard Florida at 9. Premiering Wednesday, January 23rd. Only on the Weather Channel.
When it comes to shopping online, Amazon.com has held on to the title Most Satisfying Shopping Experience. 4C, which measures customer satisfaction for companies, says for the 8th straight year, Amazon has taken the top spot with a score of 88 out of 100. Scores above 80 are considered excellent. Land's End came in second with a score of 85. Amazon does well so consistently, getting top marks for a wide array of merchandise and ease of use. The biggest fall in satisfaction this year, JCPenney's website. There's more proof movie theaters were busy places on Christmas Day. It was on that very day, 12-year-old movie ticketing service Fandango says it broke its own company record for the most tickets sold in a single day. The previous high, this year, back on May 4th, when the Avengers opened. Looking ahead to the opening bell on Wall Street, stock futures are edging higher. S&P futures gaining about 3 points. NASDAQ ahead 7. Dow futures higher by 22 points. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Email marketing works great for small business, and Constant Contact email marketing works best of all. How do we know? Because we have something the other guys don't have. Proof. According to an independent study, small businesses that use Constant Contact get 36% more of their emails opened and 60% more responses. The result? A whopping 29% more revenue. Put Constant Contact email marketing to work for your small business. Go to ConstantContact.com to sign up for a free trial today.
Shaquille O'Neal for Icy Hot.
If you've got pain, you need the patch.
The Icy Hot Patch. Powerful, targeted, fast-acting pain relief that stays put without the mess. Icy to dull the pain, hot to relax it away. In a variety of sizes, from back, shoulders, knees, even arthritis. So you're covered whenever and wherever you hurt. Stop pain right at the source with Icy Hot Patches.
Pain's no match for the Icy Hot Patch.
For temporary topical pain relief, use only as directed.
Imagine your favorite cigarette. Now, imagine it without the smoke and cigarette smell. It feels like Introducing the Enjoy King, the first electronic cigarette with the look, feel, and flavor of the real thing. Finally, smokers have a real alternative. New Enjoy King, cigarettes you've met your match. Not for sale to minors, contains nicotine, which is addictive. Find out more at enjoy.com.
Dear Honda, thanks for getting Dad a deal on a new Accord during Happy Honda Days. You saved me from being completely humiliated when he drives the carpool. Rearview camera means no adult language when backing out of Katie's driveway. And Pandora compatibility means no more CDs with Keytar. Now I might survive middle school without too many emotional scars. Sincerely, Sean.
More happiness and standard features with every Honda during the Happy Honda Day sales event. Get a deal on the all-new Accord with Pandora compatibility and rearview camera. Standard. See your Honda dealer today.
Pandora Internet Radio compatible with Select.
Need a boost to be your best? Drink SK Energy Shots. None of the bad stuff in it, so you never crash or get the jitters. Just a smooth rush of energy that tastes great. SK Energy Shots make the switch to a better source of energy. Available at GNC, CVS, and your local retailers.
This is Ron Scott. We're moving to 1130 AM WDFN. Join us on Sunday, January 6th, and each Sunday at 10 AM. We will keep fighting for justice on 1130 AM WDFN.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
I turn my attention now to an op-ed that was in this weekend's Detroit Free Press. The guest commentary is titled, Why Can't Republicans Figure Out How to Win the White House? And joining us now is Ryan Fishman. Ryan's in Birmingham. He describes himself as a lifelong Republican who grew up in a family of Democrats, the poor guy. He is the vice president of strategic consultation at Steward Media. And, Ryan, I want to welcome you to First Shift this morning, and thanks for spending some time with us.
Tony, don't you want to know what they did wrong?
Oh, I think we can probably have that discussion. I think we know what they did wrong. I got to tell you, of course, you know I'm very liberal. I know you're very conservative. But you and I are going to agree on a lot of stuff this morning. And I want to start with this, Ryan. I was talking about this in the last hour. In order to have, I think, real hearty debate, in order to find true compromise, in order to plug a lot of holes that we have in our economic system, in our social system, and so on and so forth, we need two vibrant and relevant parties. And I don't think we have two vibrant, relevant parties right now. Your thoughts on that?
I think the problem with the modern Republican Party and the modern Democratic Party, too, because both parties are sort of doing the exact same thing, is they're shifting to the ends of the spectrum. They don't see that they're going to win in their primaries if they're trying to come to the middle. And so what you wind up with is a lot of candidates on the left and the right who have made erratic promises to people that, frankly, they can't keep for the sake of our stability, for the sake of bipartisanship, for the sake of moving forward. And the debate has become very odd, and it's not about the issues, and it's not about how we fix our problems. It's all about catering to fringe players, and I think if we can fix that in both parties, or at least try to move both parties forward to the middle, we can start to solve the problems that we have. And then after that, maybe we can go back and have some of these ancillary discussions.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about your party. And actually, you say, and this was a really well-written piece, Ryan. I really enjoyed your analysis, and you say that you actually maybe consider yourself more a conservative than a Republican. How hard was that to write?
You know, it wasn't that difficult because this is something that's gone on in my head for a few years. You know, first, I'll say this, I go back to, yes, being a lifelong Republican in a House of Democrats, my mom, an MEA teacher for 40 years. So that's why I write so well. I have to credit the Democrats for that. But ultimately, and I worked on George Bush's campaign in 2004. I was there through 2008. And then there was a lot of this sort of religious right sort of bubbling up and coming through. And it came up really 2006, those midterm elections. And I had questions about my faith in the Republican Party. And then after 2008, when the Tea Party resurfaced, a lot of people will disagree with me on this point, maybe not Democrats, but the Tea Party, I don't think, was any re-embodiment of great economic principles. It was another way for the religious right to repackage itself and say the exact same things, but with a new brand and a new identity. It worked. It was hot. It was fresh. It brought people into the fold. But now we have this ongoing battle to keep pushing our party farther and farther out to the religious spectrum. So it's not so difficult for me to say. I've really come to terms with this over the last 5, 6, 7 years, the fact that the Republican Party is moving in a direction that I'm not particularly fond of. But having said that, I'm still, in my mind, closer to a Republican the way, let's say, Ronald Reagan might have called himself a Republican, or the way Abraham Lincoln might have called himself a Republican. Small government and solving the problems in our country through small government, less intrusion into the fiscal system. And frankly, as I wrote in the column, big government doesn't need to come up because our church disagrees with the way people's social morality and values are going. We don't have to grow the size of government because we don't like what somebody else does in our own home. We just have to preach at home what we want our family to be, and that's how you preserve that part of the party's values.
Wow. The Republican Party needs to hire you as their chief strategist because everything you've just said made way too much sense, Ryan. I think that's, and again, that's as true on the Democratic side. I think one of the things that Democrats have perhaps figured out better than Republicans is we don't necessarily feel like we've got to agree on everything, and we don't. Republicans, especially whatever we want to call the current day Republican Party, and I really noticed this the last 8 or 10 weeks of the campaign, if you don't agree with everything that's being said on the Republican side, then you're just not a Republican. And I think ultimately that hurt the brand in a pretty fantastic way. Listen, whether we can argue whether or not the president received a mandate on Election Day, whether that's true or not, but one thing we cannot debate is that the Republicans lost the White House on Election Day.
I think fundamentally, you make a very valid point. And as a matter of fact, when I was still in your business a few years ago after the 2008 election, I had a conversation with James Carville, who, you know, love him or hate him, Republicans, a lot of them don't like him. He made a very, very valid point along those lines, and his was, after a presidential election or any major election season loss, the Democrats sort of do this thing where they go out in a field somewhere and they sing Kumbaya and they figure out how they're going to work together for the next 4 years. And the Republicans start cutting heads off, and everybody wants to fight, and everybody wants to blame each other, and nobody can sort of work together. And having had some campaigns in this election cycle that I worked on and then we lost, one of the things that we found most important to do afterwards was sit down and figure out what did we do wrong and what did we do right the next time. And that, I think, is the fundamental thing Republicans failed to do. And it's unfortunate because if we did sit down and analyze why we weren't successful and how we move forward together and in a positive way, we might be turning one election cycle loss into three election cycle wins. But we seem to struggle with that. And ultimately, the worst thing that we could continue to do now is splinter and move right. If the Republicans don't move center now and work with Democrats and work with the president and solve the problems we have, there's no chance of success in 4 more years because nobody will trust us.
Wow. Well, no, there's a statement. Kind of made me a little speechless there, Ryan Frischman. All right. So yeah. Here's the question. Do you envision that the John Boehner-led House and the Mitch McConnell-led Senate will do exactly what you just said. Will they work with their colleagues? Will they work with the president? Do they understand the reason they did not win is because America doesn't see them as being willing to compromise?
I hope so. I can't promise anything, but I certainly hope so. And I think the place to start, frankly, is, and I know this is sort of a tough matzo ball for people to swallow, but I think the place to start is having Democrats who are centrists, guys like Gary Peters, who I personally vote for and support. I actually can't anymore because I was gerrymandered out of his district, but there are a lot of great moderate Democrats in the House and in the Senate, the former statesmen, if you will, that I don't want to say Ted Kennedy necessarily, but, you know, these iconic sort of members of the House and Senate leaders were moderate people who knew how to build relationships across the aisle. What we need to do is have guys like Gary Peters try and reach their hand out and find partners in the Republican Party because they're so good at doing that and convince those guys that we have to work together. And then I think there is a job to be done at the top, and I think I've heard John Boehner and Mitch McConnell say this in the last few days. It's time for us to figure out how we're going to sit at the table and what we're going to do. If we don't do that, that's the end of the modern era of leadership. And I think it's a question of job security. If I was a Republican in the House or Senate right now and worried about reelection in another 2 years or 4 years, I'd be thinking about how I'm going to get reelected because as a political strategist, I always think about how people get reelected. And my thought, my point to anybody would be, you've got to make yourself look like somebody who's willing to go to Washington and work because the approval ratings are at an all-time low. And the reason is people think that people in politics don't want to work on anything.
Now, unfortunately, Ryan Fishman, there's a great deal of truth to what you've just said. I don't imagine, as liberal as I am, I also understand the reality of our economy. I also understand the reality of policy. I also understand the fiscal the cliff that we truly are on. This is not a made-up subject matter. We have trillions of dollars of debt. It's not going to get better. We do have to look at creative ways to solve problems, but we also need to be able to have a discussion about it without the fringes on either side trying to co-opt the message and make it sound like if we don't do it their way, then we have committed some kind of serial murder, because that doesn't promote any idea that matters. Ryan, stay with us. We've got to take a quick break here. Much more to get to after we take the break. Now, why do you notice we have not once had this question? Was this Mitt Romney's fault? I'm not sure it was. 888-552-3595 if you want to join us. Ryan Fishman, my guest. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Zach with Progress Michigan, wishing all of the First Shift listeners a happy holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
My name's Rachel, and I'm 10 years old. I like riding my bike, playing soccer, and in 8 years, I'll be an alcoholic. I'll start drinking in middle school, just at parties. My friends will drink, so I will too.
Kids who drink before age 15 are 5 times more likely to have alcohol problems when they're adults.
My parents won't really know what's going on yet. I mean, I'll do okay in school, but when I drink, I'll do some things I don't really want to do. So by the time my parents talk to me about it, alcohol won't be my only problem.
Alcohol affects their judgment and their future. So start talking before they start drinking.
My parents won't believe it could happen to me.
For more information on teens and alcohol, and to learn what you can do, visit the web at stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station.
The following letters were written by our troops.
My dear fellow Americans, I truly appreciate your support. I was starting to wonder if people had forgotten about us over here, but then one of my buddies showed me this website, and now his tears are streaming down my face. I can see for sure that you haven't. Private Emily B., U.S. Army.
It's so heartwarming to see the American people not letting the men and women of the armed forces be forgotten. Your letters make a group of grown men, battle-hardened and gruff, act like a bunch of kids around a Christmas tree. Thanks. Staff Sergeant Matthew H., U.S. Army.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
So my guest is Ryan Fishman. Ryan is a vice president of strategic consulting at Steward Media and author of the op-ed, Why Can't Republicans Figure Out How to Win the White House? Ryan, you know, my next question to you is kind of twofold. That's a big question to ask. Why can't they win? But let's start with branding, something you know a little bit about. Obviously, the Republican brand is not what it once was. And when we break down demographics from the election, we know that there are a lot of, and this is not a racial statement, but there are a lot of white men within the Republican Party. But they're not appealing to minorities. They're not appealing to Latinos. They're not appealing to African Americans. We, in fact, a couple weeks ago, had a documentary filmmaker on that did a film called Fear of a Black Republican. And if we had more time, I'd go into that in greater detail. But let's talk about branding. Is that the first battle, is rebranding the Republican Party?
I think that's certainly a place to start. But you can't just rebrand without actually changing the way that we do business. I think if, and I know one of your questions is going to be, is Mitt Romney to blame? But he's, I don't think he is necessarily for the reason we lost. But I would say one reason we lost is we didn't make that fundamental reach to communities that are minorities where we could have given them a chance at descriptive representation. What I mean by that is, had Mitt Romney gone with Marco Rubio instead of Paul Ryan, he would have made a fundamental step for the Republican Party to show that it's not just about white men, it is about everybody. And here's a young, fresh leader from the state of Florida, a swing state, not like Wisconsin, where he maybe could have garnered some votes. So even as a strategic position, I think it would have made more sense. But ultimately, yes, if you look at the numbers, Mitt Romney didn't do as poorly as John McCain did with women, but it still was a double-digit drop-off from where the president was both 2008 and 2012. Republicans have to reach out to women, and I can't tell you how many times, even working with a pro-choice Republican, running in a Republican primary, six candidates, so the guy was the only pro-choice option, we had so much trouble getting crossover voters, particularly women, because they said, I've foreclosed on your entire party. I'm not interested. This could be the greatest leader in the world, but I have no interest in voting for a Republican. It's not going to happen. So we have to get over the hump with women. We certainly have to get over the hump with African Americans, because African Americans and Latinos are our largest growing minorities. And that means instead of saying we're keeping everybody out, we need to, sure, beef up border security, but we also need to reform the immigration process for the people that are already here. And for African Americans, it's not about cutting welfare or cutting Social Security. It's about reconfiguring those programs. So, for example, adding drug tests to them and making sure that the money is going to people who are using it so they can rebuild their families and move forward. You know, the problem is the Republicans say cut, 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 and no new taxes, and those were great strategies in 1985 and 1990, but now we're at a fiscal cliff where if I was a new business, or I shouldn't say new business, if I was an established business and I said, I just want to cut my biggest source of revenue, because that's where the government's money comes from, is taxes, and not have any way to supplant that amount of money, it wouldn't make any sense to anybody fiscally, and that's why I'm surprised Republicans would make that sort of statement today.
How do Republicans deal with the Aikens and Murdochs of the world, where, you know, they are, you know, the Mitt Romney certainly had challenges with what was happening beneath him and things that were totally out of his control, but when you don't denounce something or you don't walk away from something, as women were continuing to see this spiral out of control, where the candidate could have taken control of a conversation and just chose to ignore it. The whole 47% video and how that became its own story. First, we deny it, then we agree that it was inappropriate. You know, there were a lot of mistakes, but I don't believe that's why the Republicans lost the White House. I do think it's a foundational difference in an ideology that America is just moving beyond it. And Ryan, I've got to ask you. Well, I guess we'll get to that first, and then I've got to ask you about your demographic, because I think your demographic is the demographic the Republican Party is ignoring. But let's start with that. How do you deal with those fringe people like Aiken and Murdoch in your party that make it impossible, as you said, to find that crossover vote?
It's incredibly difficult because there are a lot of people like Todd Aiken out there in the Republican Party. They're not all necessarily elected to office, but they agree with the philosophy, and it's the philosophy that has to change. Obviously, there's a lot of scientists in the world that would say the Republicans don't know what they're talking about on more issues than just legitimate rape, but we have to fix the problem by making it clear at the top that, for example, I mean, I know there are Republicans who are going to fundamentally disagree with this, but for example, that if we were in the White House, we weren't going after Roe v. Wade. You know, we were going to let that battle die. That's certainly what I would suggest. But we have these guys, the Todd Aikens of the world, and even the Paul Ryans. I mean, Paul Ryan in Congress, and I can't defend this in good conscience, did vote and work to shrink the definition of there's the dollars from the government that go to certain abortion cases, and he wanted to shrink that from all cases of rape to only cases of forcible rape. I mean, that's a little difficult to defend once you're vice president on the ticket, and that's why I think we didn't necessarily see Mitt Romney, who, you know, we could debate this all day, but I think the guy was pro-choice before. He's probably still pro-choice now. He sort of had to stick that in the closet to get through the primary, but I just couldn't see where he was going to make any sort of move on abortion because Paul Ryan was so adamantly not only pro-life, but pro-life in circumstances of rape. And seemingly, I would assume, his right to life requests.
in all circumstances because it's God's will.
All right, and we've got very little time left. Let's talk about the demographic you represent. I believe that that's where the Republican Party needs to live. And in many ways, Ryan, I'm going to suggest that your demographic is much more socially liberal. I'm not saying liberal. I said socially liberal. And as a result of that, LGBT issues don't bother you the way they did your fathers and grandfathers, and I could go on and on and on. Do you believe that they need to find a way to attract you and people like you?
Yes, and I don't think it's just young people. I mean, certainly I'm young for a Republican, but it's a lot of businessmen across this country. Particularly, you see this in the Jewish faith, because we don't put the same, even the Orthodox Jews don't put the highest priority on all circumstances of abortion, for example. But there's a lot of businessmen in this country who don't care about the social issues. They don't want the government to waste their time. They don't want to be taxed to have to deal with it. What they want the government to focus on is, number one, the economy, and number two, national security. So preserving what's going on inside our country and then making a difference outside our country. And I think you would see some of the top guys on the Forbes list in this country who are Republicans say the exact same thing. For me, it's about business first. And that's one of the things I said in my column. Yeah, sure, I voted with my checkbook, and I have Democrat friends. My closest friend would say, you have to vote with your conscience. You have to vote with your heart. Unfortunately, in this election, I didn't make that decision, but I think the Republican Party has to move to a place where it really is the party of small government. And I know you call it socially liberal to be pro-choice and to support gay marriage, but I think that ultimately is even more conservative, because we're saying we don't want the government to play a role there.
And I can't just get that, Ryan. We're just out of time. I have a feeling we'll be visiting again. I can't thank you enough for this conversation to be continued, my friend.
Absolutely.
All right, Ryan Fishman, once again. We've got to get to a break.
Hi, this is Steve Henderson, the editorial page editor at the Detroit Free Press, and I want to wish everyone at First Shift a happy holiday and happy new year.
On 1310 WDTW.
Don't stop. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfus with HHS HealthBeat. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned play? As we grow up, being physically active often changes somehow from playing to exercising. Play is fun. Exercise, well, for many of us, that's not fun. And without play, we quit being active, so we get out of shape and start gaining weight. But new reports call on us to be physically active for the sake of our health, so what can we do? At the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports, Executive Director Melissa Johnson says it's simple. Get on your walking shoes and go for a walk, or do something else you enjoy.
A lot of sedentary or deconditioned people haven't yet experienced the good feeling of just movement. And once that becomes familiar to them, they don't want to stop.
Federal officials recommend 30 minutes of moderate activity on most, if not all, days of the week as a minimum for good health. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfus.
Meeting teen girls online is easy. All you really have to do is go into a chat room and start talking. Once we start chatting, I act as cool as possible. The more we chat, the more they trust me. When they send their picture, I tell them how hot they are. After I convince them we're soulmates, I ask to meet in person. Once that happens, well, that's when things get really interesting.
Online predators know what they're doing. Do you?
1 in 5 kids online is sexually solicited. Visit cybertipline.com, a message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard. No one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen, be heard, take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. 7 o'clock on this Friday, the 6th. I am happy to bring my next guest on, not only because we've got an important topic today, but as I announced the other day and put on Facebook yesterday, beginning next Friday, the Reverend D. Alexander Bullock will join our stable of regular guests. And, well, I don't really care what we talk about. He's just good radio. He's a good friend, and I feel just connected to him in a way that you want to share that with other people. So let us welcome back this morning the president of Rainbow Push Michigan and the president of the Highland Park NAACP, Reverend D. Alexander Bullock. Reverend Bullock, it's all, as always, a pleasure to have you with us this morning.
Tony T., good morning to you.
How are you, my brother?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I want to tell you, I'm excited about being alive.
I know you are, which is why I'm so excited that beginning next Friday at 8 o'clock, you will be with us on a weekly basis. I'm honored that you would even consider it, let alone say yes to that, and so I very much look forward to sharing you with this audience on a regular basis. I think that everybody is better served when Reverend Bullock is in the house.
Well, you know what, Tony? I appreciate that. I mean, I feel like I'm joining the Justice League. You know, I'm just happy to have been invited to be a part of the great movement that is the great radio that you do. You keep us engaged and informed, and we're excited about being on your show once a week and just and encouraging and inspiring people as well.
Absolutely. You were up in Lansing yesterday, Reverend Bullock. Why don't you tell my audience a little bit about what was going on up there?
Well, we went to Lansing actually a couple of times. Started on Tuesday, spent all day there Tuesday, and then went back yesterday because there is a situation now that we have repealed Public Act 4. As we expected, there are a lot of legal loopholes and maneuvering in place to try to circumvent the victory that we won by reinstating the people's will and protecting democracy. Specifically as it relates to the Detroit public school system and what is known as the Educational Achievement Authority, or the EAA. Now, many of your listeners may know that the EAA is a new statewide school district that has been created basically by the will of the governor that takes the lowest performing schools in Detroit and then eventually around the state of Michigan and moves them into a second statewide district. It was kicked off in Detroit with about 15 schools. And so its basis was basically the power that Public Act 4 gave the emergency manager. Now that Public Act 4 is gone, there is no legislative basis for the creation of a separate statewide school district that takes assets from the Detroit Public Schools, that takes students from the Detroit Public Schools, that has an experimental curriculum, an online computer curriculum, so it minimizes the role of teachers. And also in the wake of all of this, the attorney general and the emergency manager and the governor are saying that the elected school board of DPS were elected illegally, that in fact they are not elected representatives for the school board. And so we were in Lansing because they were trying to, are trying to put a bill in place now that will actually create a legal basis for the EAA. Although the EAA already exists in practice, it has no legal basis in the state of Michigan. And so we were there keeping our eye on that process, and we're beginning to organize now because this is just another attempt at state takeover, taking away local control, at selling and seizing assets. And it is just a continuation of the fight against emergency management that we began many, many months ago.
Well, you know, and Reverend Bullock, as we discussed this in some detail with your friend David Hecker with the American Federation of Teachers Michigan yesterday, you know, one of the restrictions on this Educational Achievement Authority, and I want people to follow my line of thinking here. Let's say we were forced to close a school, I don't care, in Midland. That school district has to maintain that building. They have to heat it. They have to repair it. They have to make sure that it's in working order. And if a for-profit school comes in and wants to buy it, they are forced to sell those assets without literally any competitive bidding, without any conversation, and without any legal footing to do that. They are forced to do it. And here's the problem, Reverend Bullock. We don't even know if the EAA is going to work.
Oh, not at all. I mean, this is experimenting with black and brown children at its worst. I mean, it reminds me of the worst kind of historical atrocities of government experimentation, like the Tuskegee experiment, where the federal government injected STDs into African-American males just to study them and see how it went. I mean, that was heinous, and you would think that the government would not be experimenting with people who were vulnerable. But, of course, the EAA has no track record. It's an experimental curriculum. The assets of the public school system can be seized, as you said, without any competitive bidding process. But more than that, you have a state mandated, if this legislation passes, basically the law will be that school districts have no decision-making power over whether or not their buildings and their students are seized by the EAA. And then also, who are the teachers in this new district? These are not typically teachers with long seniority. In fact, in Detroit, they're using Teach for America teachers, and so there are issues about collective bargaining and union busting. I mean, those issues remain with us. I mean, so on one hand, you've got the seizure of assets. You've got an anti-collective bargaining impulse as it relates to the employment. And then you've got an experimental educational curriculum where students are basically learning at a computer, and teachers are almost minimized or seen as useless. And so this seems to be setting our children and our district up for failure.
You know, it seems to me counterintuitive that if you are building a model of education that is a for-profit model, does that really serve what the foundational principles of education are all about? Are we serving the child? Are we really empowering them with the right education? How do we attract the best and brightest teachers if we're more concerned about really attracting the best and brightest students? Because as we know, in these for-profit schools, they don't have to take developmentally challenged children. They don't have to take low-achieving children. They can pick and choose almost as if we're playing kickball on recess. The strongest ones get picked. The other ones have to go play somewhere else.
No, you're right. I mean, anytime you put profit over people, I think you have a problem. And when education becomes more about the bottom line than reading, writing, and arithmetic, then that's a recipe for disaster. You know, in the EAA, it was very, very interesting because as we were there listening to the deliberation in Lansing, they have a standard they're proposing where there won't be any grades or real hard assessment. All that will be happening with these students is that they will be tracked based upon the work that they do on a computer. And so what that means, Tony, is that if I'm reading at a first grade level and I'm in the third grade and I'm in the EAA, well, then there's no time period. There's no a real hard standard of accountability by which that district, that school, the school or the teachers have to improve my reading level. So if it takes me 16 months to improve my reading level from first to third, and I'm in the third grade, well, then that's okay. If it takes 6 months, that's okay. If it takes 9 months, that's okay. If it takes 48 months, that's okay. And so this seems to be a recipe for disaster. How can you prepare students for a competitive, globalized economy if you put them in a school district that has no standards to hold teachers and the district, the students and the parents accountable for learning and for learning development? If it's okay for me to take 48 months to be able to read, to write, and to do mathematics on the appropriate grade level, well, then I'm going to enter behind, I'm going to stay behind, and I'm going to leave behind.
All right, hold that thought. Hold that thought. We got to get to the break.
Hi, this is Susan Gimes with MERS News Service, and I just want to wish everybody a happy holiday.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Pastor Reverend D. Alexander Bullock.
If we're organized, then we can push the elected officials to represent the people, to make sure that resources are expanded and spread throughout the region in a way that is equitable and helpful for all people. We should have no child left behind, no community left behind. We should not have a race to the bottom, but there should be a floor for the poor and indeed a roof for the rich.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great girdly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
The following letter was written by Technical Sergeant Jerry G., U.S. Air Force.
I've just finished reading over some of the correspondence that you've sent us over here. And for an old dog like me, I was choked up. Thanks to each and every one of you. You're the reason why I have proudly put on the uniform of the American forces, to serve folks like you, those we all love and honor, and those who do not have what we have, but who are willing to stand next to us and fight for their own freedom as well. So the next time you see one of my brothers or sisters in arms, shake their hands or pat them on the back. Tell them you support them. This is what we cherish more than anything.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
My family found out I was on drugs. They were just terrified.
Everyone that loves her was devastated.
I mean, it got to the point where my mom couldn't even sleep if I wasn't home.
My parents almost got a divorce because of my drug use.
They were constantly bailing me out of trouble and paying off drug dealers and pawn shops and lawyers and hospital bills.
I don't think I'd ever cried as much in my entire life.
There was no time that she didn't worry about what was going on with me, and you could see it on her face.
He did not know how to take control of his life. The drugs had done it.
It was the closest thing to walking death I can imagine.
And I remember my mother saying to me one day, "You're going to die if you don't get help." I wanted to have my life back and my family back. And that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
Shocking news in the world of heavy metal. One of the hardest bands on the planet is about to release a children's record. Songs slated to appear on the album include A Tisket a Tasket, Hey Diddle Diddle, and The Hokey Pokey. Let's listen to a sneak preview. Here's Ring Around the Rosie performed by the one and only...
Please deposit 25 cents for the next 3 minutes.
Radio. You shouldn't have to pay for it. This message brought to you by America's 13,000 local radio stations who believe some things were just meant to be free.
22 minutes after the hour, my guest, Reverend D. Alexander Bullock, we are talking about House Resolution 6004, which would create and expand, actually not create, it would expand the Educational Achievement Authority. And as we spoke on the show yesterday and as we spoke on the show just in the last segment, you know, these are things, Reverend Bullock, that sound great. The Educational Achievement Authority, but what it really is a legalized way to, I guess, to enforce and to expand racism in our schools, because as we take a look at the bottom 5% of schools, most of them are in communities of color, unfortunately.
That's right. I mean, this is, let's call it what it is. It's a power grab by the state. It takes away local control. It disenfranchises the elected school board, and it ghettoizes the school system. Because basically what you do is you take the bottom 5% of Michigan students. We know those are going to be typically low-income brown and black students, and you lump them into an educational ghetto. We should not be taking away the elected representatives that the people elected, namely the school board. Lamar Lemons is the president. There's a school board. We should not be disenfranchising the public school system, DPS, by taking 10 to 11,000 students out of DPS and creating another competitive statewide school district in addition to charter schools and private schools. We should not be experimenting on anybody's children with an educational curriculum and an educational model that has never been tested, that hasn't been tried. We don't know if it's going to be effective. But even more than that, we should not be creating an educational ghetto in Michigan where we lump all of the lowest performing students into a school district and basically say somehow they're going to be better off, even though this district has no track record. But you know what, Tony, you know what I think is even more heinous than all of this? I think what's most heinous is that none of this really is about the students and about their families and about their neighborhoods. If a child has parents who are working, if a child has parents who are gainfully employed, if a child lives in a neighborhood that is stabilized, if a child lives in a city where there are recreational centers and recreational programs, if a child goes to a school district where there are computers and counselors and tutoring and everything that's available to them to help them learn, then they have what they need. You don't have to create a separate school district. Let's take the dollars that are being invested in experimenting on children and just invest them in the school districts that already exist and in the neighborhoods and cities that are already existing. Let's open up rec centers in Detroit. Let's get more counselors in the schools that are already in DPS. Let's get more computers in those schools. Let's have more teacher training. And let's just reinvest in the infrastructure that we already have.
Yeah, but see, the problem with what you're saying, and you know, appreciate the way I'm presenting this, is that what you're talking about is true educational reform. What they're talking about is strictly a business decision. And it doesn't look like those paths want to cross in the mind of the governor, in the mind of this legislature. I want to remind this audience that it's the governor of the state of Michigan that is pushing this. It's not the legislature this time. It's our governor. Our governor is trying to break the back of public education.
No, you're right. You're right. And I think the whole conversation about education reform, how do we improve education, how do we raise the level of educational achievement, you know, across the state of Michigan and the nation. You know, I mean, this is a conversation that the people, that the labor movement, that pastors and other faith leaders and citizens, we need to really, really be engaged. I want to thank Helen Moore, who has been tirelessly fighting, Elena Harada, Lamar Lemons, and others, Reverend Ed Rowe, Maureen Taylor, so many activists. I mean, who have been on the front lines, who have not stopped. I want to thank the Michigan Citizen. I mean, they've been kind of covering, and not only covering, they've moved from covering to activism. And so we need more people to begin to look into the EAA. When we came together against emergency manager Tony, we fought back. They said we couldn't do it, and we won. But we won, but we're not done. They're still trying to take local control. They're still trying to seize assets. They're experimenting on our children in the name of education reform, busting unions, and at the end of the day, this cannot stand. And so I want to applaud all of those freedom fighters who have been fighting, and I want to encourage people who are listening to me today on First Shift to get engaged. This is something we're ramping up for. This legislation has not been passed, and so we are in the middle of the fight even to stop legislation that would even authorize the EAA.
Yeah, this lame duck session is dangerous, no question about it. Let's go to the phones very quickly and welcome Tony and Macomb. Tony, you're on the air with the Reverend Bullock.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Worst academic record in the country, 25% graduation rate, extreme budget deficit, and widespread corruption. The Detroit Public Schools have been failing the children for at least 15 years. If the local school boards and people like your guest were able to correct this problem, the governor wouldn't be involved. So how much longer are we going to allow this public school system in Detroit to fail these children?
Well, you know, Tony, let me stop you for a second. I want to go back to 1999, where the people of the city of Detroit passed a millage that the state of Michigan took that money away from the city of Detroit. Did not allow that school board to spend that money. Governor Engler attached that money to the state budget, took that money away, and from that point forward, the school board's hands were tied. You can't solve problems without a budget. And this is the way to solve this problem is to not privatize the school, Tony.
Well, you know what, Tony? It works in other areas. You look at the DNC. Vanguard's come in and infused capital.
But that's not education. Education is not private business.
No, but listen, there are so many examples of private schools that are doing excellent academically because if they didn't, the parents wouldn't pay the money. We need to try something.
But see, that's the difference. Okay, Tony, thank you for your call. That's the difference. And here's the problem, Reverend Bullock. If I'm sending my child to a private school, and I have every right to do that, if I want to spend $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 a year out of my pocket to do, I have a right to do that. I don't have a problem with that. Now let's just get this. Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's right. I mean, two things. One, the Detroit Public Schools has been under attack under Engler. I mean, if you look at what happened under Burnley and Robert Bob, I mean, there's a whole history of the state of Michigan messing up the DPS. But more than that, what people fail to realize, and you make a great point, education is not a private corporation. This is about children. And you can't stabilize the educational system without dealing with the lives and the families and the neighborhoods that the children live in. If I live out in the suburbs and I go to a private school, $20,000 on my education, I come home, no potholes, I come home, there are police, there's fire, there are lights, there aren't drugs everywhere. I mean, that's a different kind of learning environment, both in the home and in the school. We must deal with the fact that state government has destroyed DPS and has also created the conditions to dismantle the very neighborhoods and shipping jobs through our trade policy from Michigan to Mexico, attacking manufacturing and collective bargaining. And so if we don't get families employed, if we don't stabilize neighborhoods, if we don't respect elected representation, if we don't reinvest in the infrastructure, this will not stand. We're going to destroy the very future and the resource in the state of Michigan.
We are just out of time, Reverend Bullock. We'll look forward to having you on next Friday as our regular segment begins. Thanks for your time.
This is Jessica Tramontana, Communications Director with Progress Michigan, and we wish all of Tony Trupiano's audience a happy holidays.
On 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Attention swimmers, get out of the water! Everybody, out of the water immediately!
Dude, is that... It's a pair of thunder thighs. Big ones, too. That mom who's been swimming a lot with her kids must have lost them.
Whoa. I heard about this happening once up at Laguna.
Small step number 54. Play with your kids. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Listen on iHeartRadio. NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Peter Alexander. With the White House, President Obama and Congress will be trying to find a formula that everyone can live with in their efforts to avert the fiscal cliff. NBC's Chuck Todd says the president has cut his Hawaii vacation short.
It's been 10 days since there has been a meaningful conversation between the president and any Republican. In that case, it was Speaker Boehner. Since then, total political paralysis, and it doesn't look like anything more is going to happen.
Hawaii Lieutenant Governor Brian Schatz is replacing the late Hawaiian Senator Daniel Inouye. Schatz is flying from Hawaii to Washington aboard Air Force One with President Obama. He'll be sworn in this afternoon. Officials in still grieving Newtown, Connecticut, where 20 young children and 6 adults were gunned down, are asking the public to stop sending toys, stuffed animals, and other gifts. They've become overwhelmed by the volume of donations. Amazon.com gets a thumbs up in a new survey dealing with the best online shopping experience. This is NBC News Radio. A winter storm that's caused destruction and holiday travel disruption across the central U.S. swept into the Northeast this morning. It's expected to bring up to 2 feet of snow, drenching rain, and possible flooding. The Weather Channel's Mike Seidel is in Cheektowaga, New York, east of Buffalo.
Overnight winds gusted to hurricane force along the Jersey Shore. Those poor folks can't get a break following Sandy, but this has been a wild week of weather. This storm impacting virtually coast to coast, the entire country, getting either snow, wind, rain, or tornadoes.
In a Houston hospital, former President George H.W. Bush is in guarded condition as he fights a fever. The 88-year-old former president is in the intensive care unit. Toyota will pay out over $1 billion to make numerous unintended acceleration cases go away. Former owners who were forced to take reduced prices when selling their cars will also be able to dip into a $250 million pot of cash. I'm Peter Alexander, NBC News Radio.
Have you heard? Proactive is America's number one acne system because it's fast and gentle, and it's all about prevention. So, stay tuned for a chance to participate in a 60-day trial to prove it. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? With Proactive, you can heal your acne and help prevent new breakouts. Right now, in this radio area, we're looking for just 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactive works. The first 50 callers who qualify can try Proactive 100% risk-free for 60 days. And we're giving away our amazing dark spot corrector, free and yours to keep, just for participating. With Dark Spot Corrector, it's like your breakouts were never even there. Be one of the 50 people to complete the 100% risk-free trial and get a free Dark Spot Corrector plus free shipping. Supplies are limited and free shipping ends soon. So call now, 1-800-243-6665. That's 1-800-243-6665.
Keep an eye on shares of Toyota today as it is spending $1.1 billion to settle a class action suit that arose from complaints of unintended acceleration in its vehicles that led to a massive recall and sustained its reputation for quality. If you did any holiday shopping online, you were probably most satisfied with the experience on Amazon.com. For the eighth straight year, Amazon takes the top spot in the 4C survey. Amazon landed an 88 out of 100 points. L.L. Bean came in second with an 85. Now, anything above 80 is considered strong. The biggest drop was suffered by JCPenney, which fell 5 points, more than any other website, to a score of 78. We find out this morning what the job market trends are looking like these days. Expectations are for first-time applications for unemployment benefits to have remained mostly unchanged last week from the week before. S&P futures, they're higher by 3 points. NASDAQ ahead 7, Dow gaining 18. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Email marketing works great for small business, and Constant Contact email marketing works best of all. How do we know? Because we have something the other guys don't have. Proof. According to an independent study, small businesses that use Constant Contact get 36% more of their emails open and 60% more responses. The result? A whopping 29% more revenue. Put Constant Contact email marketing to work for your small business. Go to ConstantContact.com to sign up for a free trial today.
Shaquille O'Neal for Icy Hot.
If you've got pain, you need the patch.
The Icy Hot Patch. Powerful, targeted, fast-acting pain relief that stays put without the mess. Icy to dull the pain, hot to relax it away. In a variety of sizes. From back, shoulders, knees, even arthritis. So you're covered whenever and wherever you hurt. Stop pain right at the source with Icy Hot Patches.
Pain's no match for the Icy Hot Patch.
For temporary topical pain relief, use only as directed.
Imagine your favorite cigarette. Now, imagine it without the smoke and cigarette smell. Introducing the Enjoy King, the first electronic cigarette with the look, feel, and flavor of the real thing. Finally, smokers have a real alternative. New Enjoy King. Cigarettes, you've met your match. Available at participating 7-Eleven and Sheets stores. Not for sale to minors. Contains nicotine, which is addictive. Find out more at Enjoy.com.
Dear Honda, thanks for getting Dad a deal on a new Accord during Happy Honda Days. You saved me from being completely humiliated when he drives the carpool. Rearview camera means no adult language when backing out of Katie's driveway. And Pandora compatibility means no more CDs with Keytar. Now I might survive middle school without too many emotional scars. Sincerely, Sean.
More happiness and standard features with every Honda during the Happy Honda Day sales event. Get a deal on the all-new Accord with Pandora compatibility and rearview camera. Standard. See your Honda dealer today.
Pandora Internet Radio compatible with...
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Let me get right to my guest. Joining us now is U.S. Congressman Gary Peters. We are here to talk about the fiscal cliff. But before we get to that, Congressman, I want to congratulate you on your victory last Tuesday, November 6th. Although there wasn't much to be left after the primary, we are still glad that it's official and that you will now be serving the 14th Congressional District.
Well, thank you, Tony. I appreciate that. We're very excited about the new district. The 14th District, as you know, includes half the city of Detroit and the other half in the suburbs, a district from Pontiac all the way down to south of the Ambassador Bridge in Detroit, Mexican Town. So I'm very excited about the new district and look forward to serving the good people there.
Well, it's almost an infamous district. I talked to a couple of your colleagues that live out of state this week, and when I mentioned your name, they all chuckle and say, yeah, he's got an interesting one.
Well, yeah, it is. It's diverse, but it's also an opportunity to bring people together, which is what we have to do. And not only in Greater Detroit, but certainly we've got to bring people together, like we need to bring Congress together right now on the whole debt, on the debt issue and the fiscal cliff we're dealing with.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. You know, it's one of those things that I think people understand the bigger picture. When they hear fiscal cliff, they know that it's significant, but when it comes to a compromise, as with each passing day that goes by, there's really not a lot of news. Unfortunately, we're spending way too much time talking about a general's indiscretion, or the Congress seems to be focused on name-calling over Benghazi instead of dealing with the real issues that need to be dealt with. Is this a delay tactic?
Well, it is frustrating, and it is certainly a distraction from what we need to deal with. So we've got to really come together, and I'm hoping, as the president has said, that we can deal with a grand bargain and deal with the deficit of this issue. But, you know, basically when people are talking about a fiscal cliff, we've got a couple things happening at the end of the year. We've got tax cuts that were passed in the early 2000s that will expire, so there'll be a tax increase for both middle-income people as well as high-income earners on January 1st. At the same time, the very significant spending cuts will kick in as a result of our failure to deal with the debt limit talks earlier. And so when you add those two together, a big tax increase with significant cuts in spending, we're very concerned about the impact on the economy. In fact, the Congressional Budget Office estimates that the growth of the gross domestic product next year could be reduced by close to 3% if this kicks in, which could be increased unemployment, slipping back into recession. In fact, we could lose over 3 million jobs. So we do have to deal with the deficit, but you can't do it all at once, which is what will happen on January 1st. And that's why we've proposed, and I agree with the president, that we have to generate revenue in addition to cuts. But that revenue should be focused on those folks that are making $250,000 or more, and the middle class should not see a tax increase, and we're fighting to keep middle class taxpayers with the same taxes they pay now, but looking for an increase of those at the very top. And that's been the stumbling block. Republicans have refused to do that. They do not want to raise any taxes whatsoever on the most wealthy Americans.
Now, the president has also said, and Congressman, you actually have a reputation for bipartisan effort, so this is not unusual to have this conversation with you. The president has said that he's willing to talk about compromise, willing to accept compromise, but it has to be done responsibly. You just said something that is clearly the truth. We can't do it all at once. Don't your colleagues on the other side of the aisle understand that we cannot continue to play politics, especially after an election where these issues were front and center and they decided to stay with the status quo, which means they decided to stay with a progressive president that has a vision for this country that they embrace?
Well, absolutely. And in fact, you're on this tax question, which is just one aspect of a very complicated issue, but certainly the tax aspect that we need to raise revenues, and the president was very clear through the election that we need to raise taxes on individuals making $250,000 or more. We need to see that in order to deal with the federal deficit. Mr. Romney had a completely different view, and Mr. Romney lost. I mean, elections do have consequences, and to me, I think it is irresponsible for Republicans to stand in the way and actually may, in fact, increase taxes on middle-class taxpayers because they can't keep their tax rates for the highest-paid Americans, those who have benefited the most from what we've seen in the economy over the last few decades, can't pay their fair share. So to me, elections do have consequences, and to have the Republicans saying no, they're still not going to have any budget in any way and not be open to compromise just shows this is a party out of touch with America.
No question. Let's take a very quick call before we get back to the discussion. I want to welcome Mike and Clausen. Mike, thanks for joining us this morning. You're on the air with Congressman Gary Peters.
Morning, Congressman Peters.
Good morning.
Do you remember me?
Mike?
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Oh, okay. Gary, I just wanted to mention, while you're not going to be my congressman come January, you still are now in the old ninth, and I just have two concerns. One is the restoring the Postal Service and reminding everybody that federal workers and federal retirees should not be thrown under the bus on any budget consideration.
All right, Mike, thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Good to hear your voice again, Mike. And as you know, I'm a strong supporter of the U.S. Postal Service. We've got to make sure that the mail delivery continues to happen in this country and stand firm with our postal workers, but also believe that Postal Service is an important part of the economy here in America. And I have been working for fairness there, making sure the Postal Service doesn't have to do things that other companies don't have to, which is really and put an impediment on their ability to make ends meet. And I'll continue to work closely with efforts to reform that system to make the U.S. Postal Service competitive and continuing to deliver the mail on a timely basis and move our economy forward. And also your second point about government workers. You know, I'm dealing with the Republican Party here who likes to demonize public service workers, whether you work for the federal government or city government or the state government. whether you're a teacher or a fireman or a postal worker, the Republicans want to attack public service workers and those people who are working hard every day delivering services that citizens across this country need and deserve. And I think it's really outrageous. We have to deal with the deficit, but we have to deal with it in a thoughtful way and understand that demonizing one group of individuals is absolutely irresponsible. And the Republicans continually demonizing public service employees has to stop. And certainly I will continue to lead that fight to make them stop that.
Yeah, and as you have done in the past, let's talk for a moment about the extending the tax cuts for 98% of the country, which includes, by the way, small business. And this is one of the lies that gets told, that if we were to adopt the president's plan, small business would be hurt and therefore jobs would be cut. There's no truth to that, is there?
No, there's not. In fact, when you talk about small business and the 250,000 threshold, that means that 97% of small businesses would not pay a penny more due to this increase. So 97% of small businesses are not touched. And when you talk about some of the small businesses that are, and they're basically the Republicans want to protect anyone who receives any kind of business income. And so these are folks like high-paid athletes, lobbyists, if you're owner of a large privately held multinational company, these are the wealthiest folks in the country. It's not the average small business on Main Street. 97% of small businesses aren't touched. And, the Congressional Budget Office also took a look at what the impact would be of these tax increases on the economy. And they found that if we tax these folks at the very top, the wealthiest, it has literally only a 0.1% increase on the growth of GDP. It is just a tiny little fraction of the growth, and yet it contributes $800 billion to dealing with our deficit. So it is something that has to be done. We have the lowest tax rate since, I think, back to the Truman days. So it's not like we are in a high-tax environment right now. These are some of the lowest taxes Americans have paid in decades. This is about restoring some fairness into the system, allowing us to get closer to having a balanced budget where we can still provide vital services to middle-class folks and just make sure there's more fairness in the system. And that's it, bottom line.
Congressman Peters, when do you expect that we're going to start to have real discussions about this? Is this about the Republicans moving or the president moving first?
Well, I think the president has been very forthcoming. He's been out with his statements. He wants to put everything on the table. And the Republicans have come back and said, well, we don't want to increase any tax rates. We want to eliminate some deductions and loopholes. And yet, just like Mr. Romney, they have not given one specific example of what they want to do. We need to have some specifics. The president's been laying out some specifics, but at some point, we need to hear what the Republicans have in store for us. I hope this is not a repeat of what we've seen the last 2 years, where the only word the Republicans know is no. No, they will not support anything, and yet offer nothing constructive, no positive views as to where we need to go or any suggestions of what they would do. It's hard to negotiate with one side. All they do is sit on their hands and say no. We need to see some specific examples from the Republicans, and we haven't seen it yet.
Well, we can't have two more years of that. There's no question. And we are still trying to recover here in the state of Michigan, as you well know, Congressman. And now that you are about to approach a new district, I realize that you've got to take care of your business in the 9th before you get on to the business of the 14th. I'm actually going to suggest you're serving both constituencies at this point, because it's not like you forget about those in this area that you have served for so long, but we cannot sit on our hands for two more years. And I would suggest, because of your record, in fact, it was Stephen Henderson of the Detroit Free Press that said if there's anybody that can broker a bipartisan deal, it would be Gary Peters. I would agree with that. Congressman, thanks for your time, and we'll be talking to you very soon.
Sounds great, Tony. Always a pleasure to be on with you.
I appreciate that. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. Let's take a quick break here.
Hello, it's Lori Lamarin from Planned Parenthood, wishing all of the listeners a wonderful and blessed holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truffiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Sergeant Matthew Kyle was on his second tour in Iraq when injured.
I was shot in the neck by an Iraqi sniper while on combat patrols.
As a quadriplegic, Sergeant Kyle will require specialized medical care and benefits for the rest of his life. That's where Paralyzed Veterans of America can help. National Service Officer Bobby Hager explains.
A National Service Officer exists solely to help veterans get their benefits. We're able to fill out all of the forms and applications and ask for all of the benefits that that veteran's entitled to.
Matthew's wife, Tracy Kyle.
We don't have the knowledge to go through this by ourselves. And these benefits are going to take you through the rest of your life.
If you don't ask for a benefit, the VA can't give it to you. The veteran doesn't know what to ask for.
We could not have done this journey without the Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Paralyzed Veterans is an independent, not-for-profit organization founded by vets for vets.
To help, visit pva.org.
Two out, last of the ninth, bases loaded. Here's Santos. He's 0 for 4 today, 269 hitter for the year.
We could be going into extra innings here.
I agree. Here's the pitch to Santos. Fastball hit in the air, deep down the left field line. It's headed toward the pole. That ball is...
Please deposit 25 cents for the next 3 minutes.
Radio. You shouldn't have to pay for it. This message brought to you by America's 13,000 local radio stations who believe some things were just meant to be free.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up? Diggity doll.
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
That feeling you were just born for greatness.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
He is the man that hopes to be the next mayor of the city of Detroit. And joining us now is State Representative Fred Durhall, Jr. Fred, thanks so much for being with us this morning. And congratulations on your decision to run for the mayorship.
Well, thank you very much, Tony. I certainly appreciate it, and good morning to all of your listeners and yourself.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that as well. This is a this could not have been a light decision to make. Obviously, you're serving the very constituents you would like to, of course, represent as mayor of the city. Why did you feel, Fred Durhall, Jr., that this was the right time to step up and take on this challenge?
There are a couple of reasons. Number one, as you probably know, the city of Detroit is facing probably the worst financial crisis in terms of its government that we've had since the fire of 1701, and it threatens to undo much of the progress that has been made over the years in the city of Detroit. And in addition to that, there is a real concern about citizens being endangered because of the lack of services, because of the lack of financial acumen.
Well, certainly revenue is a problem, but we take a look, and I have a substantial listenership in the city of Detroit. Some of those folks called the show this morning and wanted me to ask you some specific questions, and we'll get to those in a moment. But one of the challenges of the next mayor is working with the council, not fighting with the council.
Absolutely.
You are a city resident. This has to be very frustrating for you to see them not progressing an agenda that brings the city closer to some fiscal sanity.
I agree. I think that in the world of politics, sometimes you have to tone the politics down, much like they're doing in Washington, D.C. When you're facing a financial cliff, you have to put aside all of that kind of stuff and get down to the business of taking care of business. I think the Detroit City Council, a legislative body just like ours is in the legislature, has a responsibility to its citizens. And I think also the executive branch of government, headed by the mayor, has another responsibility. And they both together have a equal responsibility to run things as smoothly as possible and to stay out of trouble and to try to provide the citizens the best and most efficient services that is possible.
Oh, I find it interesting. Of course, you made your announcement a couple days ago right away. As you know, there were some pundits that said, well, this guy can't win. And I'm not one of those people that believes that. I believe you have as much a shot at winning this as anybody. Maybe you don't have the political machine of a Mike Duggan or you don't have the incumbency of a Dave Bing. But what you do have is a deep, rich tradition and history in this city. I'll remind this audience, you've lived here since you were 6 months old. Fred Durall Jr., this is a time for serious, serious leadership and responsible people. Can you be that guy?
I am that guy. I believe my history as a public official, which spans over 30 years, is proof of that. I also think, Tony, that we need the kind of leadership that is going to lead. You know, leaders have to lead. They can't say that I'm a leader and don't produce. I'm a guy who believes in production. I'm more like the man with the monkey wrench. I want to get into the problem and start tearing it apart and straightening it out. And after we do that, then I'm fine. I think that these problems are solvable. I think that we sometimes get a little too political. But in the city of Detroit, we have a problem. We're spending more money than we bring in. And we've been doing that for the last 30 years. And it's finally caught up with the city of Detroit. Plus, there are some other systemic problems inside the city of Detroit that has to do with its computer systems. We've got two or three of them, and they're not talking to each other. The payroll system is a mess there. And vendors have to wait inordinate amounts of time in order to be paid for their invoices after having delivered services. There are just a number of issues there, and it's going to take, like Dad used to say, it may take a month of Sundays to straighten it out, but as long as we got a calendar year, we get busy, we can do it.
I don't disagree with that, and certainly one of the things that I have criticized the current mayor for repeatedly is showing a lack of not only leadership but a vision. We can talk about the problems all we want, Fred, but if we're not doing anything about them or, not willing to compromise or not saying no one's going to tell me what to do, which he did recently with regard to the Miller-Canfield contract, how do we expect progress?
I agree with you. First of all, listen, if you're the mayor of the city of Detroit and you have this issue, see, we have a consent decree. Whether we like it or not, we're in it and we're under it. And we have to do what we have to do to meet the objectives in order to get the money that we need from the state. I mean, if you look at it from that point of view, just from getting money from the state, if the state requires us to do X, Y, and Z, we ought to be about the business of doing X, Y, and Z so they can make it happen. Because in the end, it's about receiving $10 million or $20 million or $30 million or not receiving it. And I don't think we're big and bad enough affluent enough at this point where we can sit back and say, well, I'm not going to do this. I think also the mayor has a responsibility of dealing with legislators and giving them all of the information when he meets with them and talks with them. I can tell you this as a legislator. I would be very reluctant to sign on to any deal that I didn't know the details about. And I'm not just going to take the mayor's word that this is best for the city. If it's best for the city, the mayor ought to be able to prove and show that his proposal is best for the city. And then the council needs to act appropriately and quickly to do what is necessary so that we don't lose out anymore.
Now, from your mouth to God's ears, Fred Durhall Jr., my guest, he's a current state representative, recently reelected, by the way. He has made an announcement that he's going to run for the mayor of the city of Detroit. That the journey begins 2 days ago. So we applaud his efforts. I have to ask this question. We played some audio earlier today where, once again, in order to, quote-unquote, balance the budget, the unions of the city of Detroit are going to be asked to make more concessions. As you know, Fred, there are union members right now that are making so little money they qualify, and some of them are actually getting food stamp assistance. Can we end this assault on union labor in the city, please?
Not only in the city of Detroit, which I'm certainly in favor of ending the assault on them, and as mayor, I will do whatever I possibly can to appreciate the fact that we've got great workers in the city of Detroit who have sacrificed, who have been asked and have given concessions over an extended period of time. And to go back and ask them to continue doing that and give up everything that they've ever worked for, I think is stupid, first of all. And secondly, I think that it is counterproductive in the sense that these are people that work and live in the city of Detroit. If we disarm them economically, how is the city going to prosper? These people will be spending money in the city, turning that dollar around inside the city of Detroit. If you strip that away from them, how can the city have a base or even existing? So I'm certainly in favor of working with the labor unions. I understand there's a certain amount of tension between the mayor's office and those contracts that have to go. But I think my approach would be different, and that is open the books. Hell, if you don't have any money, you don't have any money. Let them see it. What's there to hide?
I keep on thinking about, I had your friend Ed McNeil on this show, and he, and as you know, AFSCME went to the mayor. I'm pretty sure you know this, went to the mayor with a program that where they could have literally saved the city of Detroit $182 million in one calendar year. They wouldn't look at the proposal, Fred.
Yeah, I know it. And that, I think, is totally irresponsible. When I'm mayor of the city of Detroit, I'm going to tell you, anybody from the citizen, John Q. Citizen, can come to me, and if he's got a proposal and it makes some sense for bringing money to the city in terms of revenues or saving money in terms of being efficient and cost-saving, I'm going to take a look at it.
I think it's time for real people with real solutions to solve real problems. Fred Durhall Jr., I had your friend Tom Stallworth on this show the other day. He couldn't have been more effusive in his praise for you, believes that you are the answer. He's not alone. There are a lot of people saying very good things, Fred, about you. I just want you to know as well that you're welcome on this program anytime. As your campaign begins to gear up, as you need some airtime, do not be afraid to reach out to us so that we can get your message to the people that need it most. Again, we have a very substantial listenership in the city of Detroit. We care deeply about what happens there. And, Fred, as you know, as Detroit goes, so does Michigan. I want to wish you the best of luck and thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and I will certainly take you up on your offer. As you know, I don't have millions of dollars, and I don't proclaim to try to be able to get millions of dollars. But if there are some donors out there that want to write a check, we'll look forward to that as well. But, Tony, thank you so much. As this thing progresses and we go and the situation in Detroit goes, I'll certainly keep in touch with you.
Thank you, Fred. Appreciate that so much. State Representative Fred Durhall Jr. and candidate for the mayor of the city of Detroit. A quick break here.
This is Anthony from First Shift wishing our audience a happy and safe holidays.
On 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Unions work.
Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
And welcome back. 35 minutes. As promised now, we're going to pay a little tribute to Veterans Day. Depending on what calendar you adhere to, it's either Sunday or Monday. A lot of people are celebrating it both days. It doesn't matter to me, folks. We can celebrate Veterans Day every day as far as I'm concerned. We need to constantly remember the sacrifices that are made for democracy. So much of what we enjoy is because our grandfathers, great-grandfathers, fathers, and sons and daughters and mothers fought in wars that protect us. But that doesn't mean that we do a very good job of thanking them in return, I'll tell you that. And I'm very, very concerned about this current legislature as more and more military members come home from Iraq and Afghanistan. Oh, my God, there's a Freudian slip for you. Iraq and Afghanistan, they're going to need much more support than we are set up to give them. But we'll have that conversation separately. There is a special event coming up on Sunday that I want to share with you. Let me turn my attention now to Bob Kerwinski. Bob is with the Veterans for Peace Chapter 93. That's Washtenaw, Livingston, Hillsdale, Lenawee, and Jackson counties, where he is the chair of Veterans for Peace, and he joins us this morning. He comes from a long line of family members that have been in our military, so we want to thank Bob for his service to our country and service to the radio program this morning. Bob, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, Tony.
You know, let's first talk about what's happening this weekend, because I really want to try to drive some people to that event. I think it'd be great if we had a wonderful turnout there.
Okay, yeah, we have the Arlington, Michigan display, which is one cross for every Michigan soldier killed in the Iraq and Afghanistan war. It's 224 crosses, and that's 160 from Iraq, 64 from Afghanistan. And on each cross, we have their name, their rank, their age, their unit, and a photo of them also. And this is all taken off the CNN website, so it's pretty accurate information. And the idea of these Arlington displays was started by a Veterans for Peace California chapter who started setting up crosses on the Pacific Beach for every U.S. soldier killed in the war. They were calling it Arlington West. and it started at the beginning of the Iraq War, and it really got almost too big for them, because right now you'd have like 7,000 crosses out there if you included everybody. So they've changed it to just Afghanistan crosses. But going back to the Michigan display, the Arlington, Michigan display, it'll be set up on Grand Circus Park in downtown Detroit, Woodward and Adams. You'll be able to see it pretty readily from in the park area there. And it'll be on Sunday, Veterans Day, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Oh, I think it's wonderful that you're doing that as a, you know, and Bob Kowinski, I got to tell you, as you know, I look at that 224 number. I start doing a little math. For every one of those people, there's a mother and a father, so that's times two. If they have siblings, well, then we start adding to that. Friends and family, spouses, children, we add to that number. That 224 people literally affects thousands of Americans, Bob.
Oh, it absolutely does. And we're not even showing the wounded. I mean, we have 995 wounded from the Iraq War from Michigan and 362 Michigan soldiers wounded from the Afghanistan War. And another thing that some people think about this Arlington, Michigan display is that it's a protest, and it's not meant to be a protest at all. The main points we have the display out for is, first of all, to honor those who have fallen. Second, to provide a place to grieve. Third, we try and educate the public about the costs of war, and like what you were saying earlier, most important, educate the public about the needs of those returning from war. The VA does a wonderful job, but if you call over to the VA and say, do you need volunteers, they say, oh yes, or if they need other donations of things that they're not funded for, things like cards or simple medications like aspirin, such things like that. So you know, there's always this need for the helping those returning from war.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a greater and greater need as this all, of course, unfolds. And, you know, I first of all, I want to let people know a couple websites I want to give them. Veteransforpeace.org. That's veteransforpeace.org. I also want you to check out respectveteransday.org. Respectveteransday.org. Go check both of those out. We'll get them up on the Facebook page as well. But, Bob, let's talk a little further about Veterans for Peace. I think that there are some people that don't understand what their purpose is.
Well, it was started in 1985 and in Maine, and there's chapters nationwide. There's about 120 chapters nationwide. We've got two in southeast Michigan, one in metro Detroit, and then the one I'm involved with in Washington and the counties west. And you could simply say it's a group of veterans that say there's got to be a better way to solving conflicts all the time than running off to war, especially wars created by individuals that never have been in the military. As you know, even Dwight Eisenhower, you know, one of the most respected people I think in the past, says, "I hate war only as a soldier who has lived it can, only as one who has seen its brutality, its stupidity." So, I mean, when you have Ike saying things like that, it gives you something to think about. And also, we're a nonprofit educational group, 501c3, and also a United Nations non-governmental group member, too.
Well, I think it's important that people understand that you're not all pacifists. And certainly you understand that sometimes there is a need for war, but that should not be the end all or the be all, the answer to every conflict in the world. And Bob, I would think, especially as you got deeper and deeper involved in Veterans for Peace, that you began to see this politically in a very different light.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, and like what you were saying, too, you know, some of our members are pacifists, others are not. I mean, I go back to, like, Pete Seeger, who was, by the way, an Army veteran, and in his Bring Him Home song, he goes, "There's one thing I must confess, I'm not really a pacifist. If any Army invaded this land of mine, you'd find me on the firing line." But at the same time, he's saying, "Bring Him Home," because that song resonates over and over and over. I mean, we need to bring the troops home from Afghanistan especially.
Well, I don't want to make people feel guilty, but at the same time, Bob, I do not believe we honor our veterans. I don't care what level of service they gave to this country. If they made the decision to serve, or some, of course, were drafted, but if they have served, I think we need to do a better job of honoring the commitment that they made to this country. I don't think we do a terribly good job of that.
No. It's you find too that there's war hysteria when a war first starts, and then years later, the wounded soldiers and a lot of the veterans, you know, become liabilities. Another group maybe people should be interested in is Iraq Veterans Against the War, which Veterans for Peace helped start. And what they're these are a bunch of, you know, basically I'm 59, but these to me are, you know, a bunch of youngsters, but they're seasoned military vets. And one absolutely great thing they're doing right now is Operation Recovery, and they're trying to help returning Afghan and Iraq veterans with traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress. And their big thing is they do not want these returning people sent on new deployments until they're healed. I mean, a lot of us remember Vietnam. You would go to Vietnam for one deployment a year, and then you'd come back, and they would never even think of sending you back to Vietnam. But now for Afghanistan, we have people going back 2, 3, 4 times for redeployments. It's horrible stress on these people.
Yeah, it really is. Let's again talk about Sunday, Grand Circus Park at Woodward and Adams, right in downtown Detroit. Veterans for Peace will have a Arlington, Michigan display. There will be 224 crosses that represent 160 Iraq members of the military that have been killed in Iraq, 64 in Afghanistan from the state of Michigan, and Bob Kerwinski, as you aptly pointed out, this doesn't even begin to touch those that have been wounded, some of them severely, some of them permanently, for the rest of their lives. I don't know. It just breaks my heart when I think about, let me just say this, because this is exactly what I'm thinking. It breaks my heart to think that we had put so many young people, men and women, in harm's way in a war that was unnecessary, in my opinion, especially in Iraq.
Absolutely right. The recently passed away George McGovern said, he's tired of sending young people off to wars that old people start.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that. And beyond this, folks, again, you can go to veteransforpeace.org. or respectveteransday.org, and there's lots of different stuff that you can do to get involved. And Bob, we just need to warn people one more time, as more and more people come home, as more and more people get settled, as more and more people can't find jobs, as we see more veterans are homeless, that we're not being able to take care of them, not in the way that we need to be, we need to take some responsibility for that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would say if listeners have a time and want to drop a few dollars, go to the Iraq Veterans Against the War webpage. It's simply IVAW.org, and they're doing some wonderful work, but they really need the support.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you, Bob, so much for being with us. I want to, again, encourage everybody to go out to Grand Circus Park on Sunday at Woodward and Adams in downtown Detroit. Pay your respects to our veterans. Don't forget to thank a veteran any day of the year. It doesn't have to be just this weekend. Bob, thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
Okay, thanks for having me on, Tony.
You
appreciate
bet. It. No, my pleasure. Bob Kerwinski. My oldest son served 4 years in the United States Navy. Folks, and I thank him for his service.
Hey, it's Joe, and I'm just hoping that all the listeners at First Shift have a great holiday season and carry it on to a happy new year.
On 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Let's sing that new song.
My music track, track, track from the Godom Jack. Jack, Jack plays MP3s, threes, threes that I download fast, fast, fast. I read the bits, bits, bits on the microchip, chip, chip, and I burn, burn, burn all my favorite hits, hits, hits.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in technology, but parents can help keep them updated. Go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
I believe we can keep the promise of our founding. The idea that if you're willing to work hard, it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from or what you look like or where you love. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white or Hispanic or Asian or Native American or young or old or rich or poor, able, disabled, gay or straight.
On 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tribbiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Tribbiano on Twitter.
And I am honored and pleased to bring to you someone that you're all going to be familiar with, Congressman Sander Levin, who joins us to talk a little bit about last night and today's festivities and the president's speech. And Congressman, congratulations on your latest primary victory and what will sure be another term in Congress. You make us all proud, and I think you know that.
Oh, glad to be with you again, Tony. Glad to be with you. It was quite an evening last night.
It was quite an evening last night, and you know, let's start off with not President Clinton, but many of the speeches that led up to that. Certainly, this convention has been well represented by electeds. I was very proud when they brought out the female senators that serve in Congress, our own Debbie Stabenow, looking resplendent and beautiful as always, courageous. The work she's doing on the Agriculture Committee has become national headlines. She has a tough race in front of her, but we know she'll do well. But there's been such a wonderful focus at this convention on women and young folks. And I know that you love to engage young people into the political process. So this must be, I mean, you've been to, I don't know how many of this conventions this is for you, but this must be a special one for you.
No, very much so. And I think this convention, you know, as I've been here, I really think that the people here represent so well the people of the United States. I think we reflect our strengths, our diversity, the struggles of the middle class, the struggles of people to become part of the middle class, I've represented areas that are basically middle class throughout my career. And I think the people here represent the hopes, the aspirations, the accomplishments, the challenges. You're right. It's so different. The role of women has been emphasized. Also, the challenge before young people, and they've been speaking here. So it's been, I think, uplifting.
Well, the one thing you have always been exceptionally good at outside the Beltway, back at home, is staying connected to your constituency. And I certainly think Metropolitan Detroit, who we're speaking with this morning, understands all of the issues that are here today. They are affecting every single constituency that you represent, whether you're trying to get through college without getting into too much debt, whether you're trying to find a job, whether you're trying to save your home. There isn't an issue that it has not been spoken of here that doesn't affect the folks back at home. So it's wonderful when we juxtapose the two conventions, what happened in Tampa and what's happened here. What's happening here is we're directly and truthfully addressing what happens, what needs to happen. We understand that there's work that needs to be done, but there's a plan. They didn't have a plan, and they still don't, at least not one that they're willing to share with us, Congressman.
No, that's so true. You know, some people said, well, President Clinton went on for, what was it, an hour or so? But, you know, he believes that the people want to understand. He doesn't sell short the American people. I think Tampa sold people short, and they thought, give them slogans. I saw Mitt Romney on TV yesterday. He said, well, the Democrats want government to do anything. That's so wrong. President Clinton spelled out yesterday how, look, it's not everybody just on their own. We need to do our thing, but also do some things together. And that's really the basic issue. You know, Social Security is doing things together as well as doing it on our own. We work for it, and yet it's a combined effort. Medicare, we earn it, but together we make sure that every senior has access to health care. Education is the same. We do it, but not only on our own, we also do it together. So he was talking to younger people so eloquently. We have some support for kids going to school. Macomb Community College has 10,000-15,000, maybe more, kids who get students who get some help. Their parents work for it. Many of them work, but they get some help through Pell Grants, which Ryan wants to reduce. They get some help from loan programs, and the Republicans resisted efforts to make sure the interest rate was low enough people could afford it. So it's everybody has to do it, but not just do it alone.
Well, none of us do anything alone. The founder of CarMax makes a case for that last night. The founder of Costco.
Oh, they did that so well. They did that so well, and they so distort President Obama's words. You know, he was talking about everybody who builds a store needs a highway. Everybody who builds a store needs light, etc. So everybody should do their thing, but realize that we have to do some things together.
And we do have to do some things together. I think that's one of the things that makes the Democratic Party something that I can be so proud of. You know, we're called the Big Tent or the Big Umbrella Party. That's an honor. That's a badge of honor that we are so inclusive, that we are so concerned, that we are so compassionate. I do believe that there is, and I know you do this because I can see it through the legislation you sponsor and those you advocate for. I do believe you need heart in politics. I don't think you have to. I don't think you should put that behind you, Congressman. I think you have to remember that budgets are moral documents, and they say something about how you really feel about humanity. The Republicans have made it clear how they feel about humanity.
No, I think, you know, the Ryan tax proposal, which essentially boils down to this. If it were to pass, people making over $1 million would get a tax cut of $330,000. The typical family would get a tax cut of $2,000, and 25 to 30 million people in this country would have their taxes increased. And they would eliminate, for example, the deduction for education expenses. Can you believe that? I think what President Clinton did last night was to say to the American people, you have to really believe what the Republicans would do. It's not an idle threat. They would turn things upside down in this country.
Well, and of course, we've seen that what their obstructionism in Congress, something you have to deal with and
every
has
day
to
they,
deal with every day.
They, as Mitch McConnell said years ago, their number one priority has been to prevent the reelection of this president. And I have faith in the American people.
I do, too. Congressman Sandra Levin, thank you so much for being with
nice
us.
To be
what
with
an
you
honor it is to see
it's
you
my
again.
Privilege.
Congratulations on your recent wedding, by the
thank
way.
Thank you. Thank
God
you
bless
much.
You. Tony Truppiano wanting to wish all of you the happiest and most joyous of holiday season. Whether you celebrate the Christmas holiday or just celebrate the time of year, know that we here at First Shift care about you and wish you the very best.
Ew, it stinks in here.
Passing gas. Is there a right time and a wrong time to do it?
Come on, huh? I'm trying to eat.
When indoors in the company of others, passing gas is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Oh, you're killing us over here.
Every year, hundreds of infants exposed to passed gas die.
What? I cracked a window?
And just opening a window isn't enough. These deadly fumes can linger in the room for hours after odors have dissipated.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shop.